Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access.
I am your ever-faithful host,
AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, we got the usual band of malcontents out there listening to us. We've got Fear the Walking Dead, Van Helsing, Debris, Big Sky, and Manifest. As soon as the ladies get here, we'll get rocking and rolling. Oh, so I've been watching this show on Netflix called Who Killed Sarah? Spanish show. And I'm watching it with English dubbing, and it's not that bad. But the show itself is really, really good. Oh, look, I have a co-host. Now I can stop babbling. Good evening.
Good evening, AJ. How are you?
Good.
What show
oh,
are you talking
Jamie's
about?
Jamie's here, too. Who Killed Sarah on Netflix? It's really good.
Hello.
Hi, Jamie.
Hello, Jamie.
Hello. I almost didn't make it. I fell asleep on the couch.
Wow.
We could do a show. We could do a show every week just on the adventures of Jamie trying to get to the podcast.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I'm still trying to wake up, though. I feel like I'm still half asleep. I hate when you do that, you know, when you just, like, can't get out.
Yeah.
You can't wake back up. But I'm here. Great.
All right. Well, I guess we'll get started. You guys can do Fear and Van Helsing, and then we'll talk about the other three.
All righty. All right,
well,
I guess we'll start with Fear, like we usually do.
So I just watched that today, fresh in my mind. So you finally got your Alicia episode. Every week you complain Alicia is there. So since you've been wanting to see Alicia, why don't you go first? What did you think of this episode?
The highlight was definitely seeing Alicia, the character, and Alicia Debnam Carey, the actress. Who was great. She's always great, right? I thought it was an okay episode. So, I mean, there are a lot of things I didn't like, and we'll get to that. But in general, looking at the standard of Fear the Walking Dead, this was a fairly decent episode. Like, I don't really love Teddy as a villain, but he's better than many of the other ridiculous villains we're subjected to on this program, right? So while I don't, we've talked about, I'm not really into the idea that this escaped serial killer and some of the ridiculousness of the whole John Dory thing. And why does every television show, if they want to make a man crazy, they have him kill his mother and then keep her corpse, right? Not very original.
But it was written in a way because it ended up not the case.
Yep.
So.
But John Glover did good work. John Glover, who, by the way, is in New York and went to college in Towson, Maryland, outside Baltimore, and, what weird connections to our podcast, right? I think AJ lives near Kingston and I live near Towson.
And I was completely elsewhere. But, no.
I don't love, and some truly ridiculous things happen in this episode that are the problem of bad writing and bad direction that I think we'll call out. But in general, it was one of the better episodes. It is frustrating though, as much as I love seeing Alicia, it frustrated me. It reminded me all over again that she should be the star of the show. And finally, I think we'll point out before the end of this that I noticed right away while I was watching it the parallels this episode had to The 100, Alicia Debnam Carey's previous show that she was on. And I'm not the only person who noticed it. Many, many people commented on online. Particularly people being locked in.
I can hear your other ding. That was my mom's iPad dinging.
Sorry. Particularly the idea of someone being a heroine being locked in the person who has to save the world being locked in a bunker. after a nuclear annihilation is very The Hundred. I mean, the whole, of course, that was global nuclear annihilation, and this is a very stupid nuclear storyline. But anyway, how did you like the episode?
I thought it was pretty good. I agree with what you said. I like John Glover. I don't totally hate the villain. Like you said, none of them are fantastic on these shows. But I think that he's funny. Like, he's I mean that's John Glover. He's a good actor. But I mean, like, I enjoyed his, like, I don't want to say charisma, because the character is, like, hateable in a way, but just, I don't know, this episode, like, I thought I didn't dislike him in this episode. I like how he totally faked them out, and, like, it wasn't even her body. I mean, I don't know that I believed what he was selling from the beginning of the episode, but I did kind of like that little turn there. I mean,
I think charisma is a good...
that they were waiting for them. Sorry, what?
I think you chose a good word. I think charisma is a good word, and I think, like, it's probably characteristic of cult leaders that they're charismatic and they can sell things to people that are totally real ridiculous.
Right. But I'm saying, like, yeah. We don't believe him, but at the same time, I kind of liked his personality in this episode.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting, kind of how he took her out on this road trip to see how things happen. You know, he's more nuts because I think he, in a way, really didn't care if he got killed. Just was kind of want to see how this went, even if, you know, Riley didn't necessarily agree with it. But I thought it was interesting how, like, the whole time, in a way, they're kind of playing each other, because she could have at any point tried to kill him, which I did have to say, when Dakota's like, let's kill him at the beginning, I'm like, why don't you? Like, that was so obvious. But then the more you think about it, it made sense. She had to know, you know, she wasn't ready to do that. Although I was very disappointed in Dakota's predictability, because they made it like, oh, I'm going to help you. And then, yeah, she just didn't give a shit. You know, she would.
I'm very disappointed. I'm disappointed in her continued existence as a character on the show. And I thought, can she please be killed or just be written off? And it was kind of ridiculous how they threw her in as, like, a sidekick for this episode for no reason other than they needed somebody to hold Alicia at gunpoint at the end. Like, it's so dumb that I wonder if Dakota was partially telling the truth and really was trying to get Teddy to trust her. So, is she really...
I think she might have been at the beginning, but I think by the end she didn't really care. I think that... Dakota kind of goes where the wind blows. I think that it benefited her. I mean, I think she wanted to do that, but then it benefited her to screw Alicia over, so she did. I did appreciate her conversation with Teddy, though. That little bit where he's like, they're talking about how killing somebody isn't upsetting. I don't know, just because that conversation is upsetting. You know what I mean? Like, this is the way it is, and you can see that she sees, like, a kinship in him just because he's so insane, and you can really see that she has no compassion, but at the same time, I kind of see that she's right, she didn't have it, but Alicia's like, you know, but I gave you a chance. So, I did like those kind of things. I did kind of figure, I mean, they went a little bit different than I thought to start off with. I figured when this group grabbed him, I thought a couple different things at different points. At one point, I thought that this whole, like, that Teddy, like, knew him. Like, he became part of them, and it was to see what Alicia would do. Then, because I actually thought it was kind of dumb that his group ended up bad. I thought that was kind of a little boring. But
Cole's group, you mean?
Yeah. But I figured that Teddy's people were going to be waiting to jump them when Alicia was like, what makes my decision easier? So they did surprise me a couple times in this episode. I'm not 100% sure what Teddy's – I mean, is it like his – I'm trying to understand what his plan is. Like, part of me thinks that he's saying, I know I'm not – no, and I know he's just nuts. But, I mean – I almost got the opinion that he's because he keeps saying you're the right person for this. I almost got the opinion that he's saying I'm not going to be a leader. I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. You're going to become the leader. you're going to repopulate and become the leader. Like, I felt like that was his plan. He's like,
yeah,
I'm going to kill everybody, then you're going to take over, which made absolutely no sense because he's almost like, I don't trust you, you don't trust me, but I don't want you to trust me because I'm not going to make a good leader. You're the person who's going to make a good leader. Like, that's why it was so screwed up. But at the same time, I felt in a way it was a little bit interesting just because it was different and it wasn't what I expected. He's totally so crazy, you know.
He
is crazy.
I think it makes a little bit of sense. I mean, so I think you're right. He intends to die partially because I think he's going to go personally to the nuclear, to the submarine and launch the nukes, and then he'll be stuck outside the bunker, so he'll die. So
yeah,
how can he possibly? Although, I mean, there's so many things
it
wrong
would be
with
him
this, like let's set that ridiculous part aside, and we'll discuss that in a minute. But I think, and he also like. I mean, I can see, like, an idea about the person who, in his mind, the person who is the leader at the end doesn't, you need somebody different to lead at the beginning, and a person who can lead, kind of like you need a certain kind of person to lead the country to war, and then we need a different kind of a president to lead our country
in
the peacetime period sort of thing.
Yeah. And,
and he sees an Alicia that she'll
just stand up to them. He even said that, you question me, you stand up to me. Like, I appreciated, I guess, that kind of, like, that part of him that made sense amidst the craziness. But, you know, I got to say, there was one part of it that was my favorite part of this episode was when, I forget exactly the line, but when he tells Alicia that she reminds him of his mother, and she I can't remember exactly what she said, but she basically says something to him like, oh, did she think you were batshit crazy too? The look on his face. That was great. I think overall this was, other than Dakota, I think it was a pretty, and I don't think I would have minded Dakota if she would have chosen a side. Like I said, I feel like maybe at the beginning she was going to help Alicia, but then like as soon as it benefited her, she didn't care anymore. And her, I don't know, because of that, I feel like her, I mean, there are people and characters that do that, but I don't feel like she had conviction or reason to do that. Like she just kind of doesn't care. You know what I mean? It wasn't believable. So that that was kind of the main part of it. I didn't like. But like I said, I did like that the whole thing was like a whole con from the beginning on his part too, like with the body and everything. He's like, oh, that's not my mother. I thought that was kind of cool. But
The appearance of Dakota is one of these very frustrating things where, like, Texas is the size, you know, Texas is the size of, like, Vermont or New England or, like, not even New England. It's the size of, like, Rhode Island or it's the size of, like, the Vatican, which is, like, a city-state of, like, only, like, a few, like, that you could walk across in one day. It's a mile wide, right? Like, they don't, and I mentioned Vermont because that's what Eric Kane wrote in his complaints also. But, like, everybody in the great state of Texas keeps bumping into each other, and they just bump into Dakota, who, like, I don't even remember. Like, last time we saw her, she was in Morgantown,
well,
I think.
I think she said she tried to find her. I mean, she followed her. So it wasn't
It's so dumb. It's so dumb, right?
But, yes,
it's just so dumb.
She still couldn't have found her.
No, she couldn't have. First of all, because everyone who went with her, like, ran away when the place burned down, and Alicia hasn't been seen since. And so no one can find her, and yet somehow Dakota has been following her. That's total bullshit, right? And also the fact that she just happens to come off the school bus at the exact moment that Alicia is leaving with Teddy, right? It just makes and her presence, I mean, I did kind of enjoy, I thought there was, like, a bit of potential for the writing when it became clear that, you know, you talked about it being a con. Everyone was conning everyone in this episode. Like, Teddy's conning Alicia. Alicia's trying to con Teddy. Cole is cons them both in the beginning, right? Dakota, I don't know what kind of con Dakota's running because, like, she's the worst. But so that had a little potential, but it sort of all went a little bit sideways.
Yeah.
First of all, it being – go ahead.
No, I was going to say what you were going to say. I stopped to say
Well, I was going to say, also that they run into Cole is another person that you just bump into in Texas, right? Like, like everybody knows everybody and lives 1 foot away from each other in the apocalypse. And that these people are like their neighbor. Okay, so granted, granted that Teddy was driving Alicia to the stadium, hoping that she would see all these dead bodies of all her friends and realize that, like everything her mother did was pointless and life is pointless.
Was a good plan on his part. I don't think he knew Alicia very well at that point at all.
And so then it turns out Cole is still living in the vicinity of the stadium, but has become a bandit. You know, okay, so first of all, nobody remember him, right? Like, we're like, she's like, oh, Cole, I'm Googling him to see who he is. You're like, Karen, who is that guy? Like, he wasn't a major enough character that we actually remembered him, right? He was in, like, two episodes.
I was thinking, like, maybe that was her, didn't she have, like, a boyfriend or something, like, in the pilot? I was, like, trying to remember, like, who is this guy? Did we see him before, or is it somebody
she
from
did have a boyfriend
life?
In the pilot, but he was black.
And I'm like,
a black
and you
teenage
told
kid,
me, and
yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, I kind of remember him. But, yeah, I think that... Although, granted, there's a lot of red shirts on the show. Maybe they didn't have a more interesting person to bring back. But I feel like it wasn't necessarily a good choice of a character just because nobody remembered who he was anyway. I think the fact that they turned into bandits, I think, was a dumb storyline. I liked how she killed him, though. Like, I kind of like that, like, struggle. It's like you could see Alicia's the one person that continues, I think, out of any of them, that at least her character does grow and stuff, and she's not, you know, like Morgan, oh, I can't kill, you know. She shot him.
Are you kidding me? Alicia went through
Dakota, like, I think she said Dakota something like that she killed him because she had to, you know.
Yeah,
there's a difference.
I mean, part of the point, I think, was that killing doesn't come easy to Alicia like it does to Teddy and Dakota, right? But you're forgetting
the horrible season where
Alicia also wouldn't, she wouldn't even kill zombies, much less people. Remember, she did the Morgan thing, and she wouldn't even kill zombies. She just painted trees for a whole season.
You're right. I remember, though, at the very beginning of the show, like, how horrible of a character she was, too. I remember us, like, trying to give her a pass and being like, well, she's still a teenager, and, like, she was just this really horrible character, and then after, she became a really good character. But, yeah, they had the whole thing with that period that, like, really sucked. But... aside from that part, she's mostly been the best, her and Strand.
The worst thing that happened to the character of Alicia was bringing Morgan onto the show and making Morgan the star and the leader, because he's obviously a horrible leader, he's kind of the kind of leader that Rick was, like, every plan goes wrong, whereas Alicia's plans are great. Alicia should be the main character, and Alicia Goodman Carey should be the lead actress on the show. And, like, there's tons and tons of fans out there who complain every week that, like, why is Alicia not the star of the show? She's the best character, and she's the last living person in the Clark. It was originally the story of her family, right? And she's the last living person in her family. And she's barely ever on the show, and a lot of fans
obviously they originally brought Lenny James in because he was a big name, but, I mean... These shows have gotten pretty big. She's known now. They don't need him.
And it's the problem of the new show, the showrunners, who have now been with the show for years and were horrible. I did not really mind that Cole and Doug and Viv have become bandits. I think it's a realistic choice in the apocalypse that that's what they've had to do to survive, was to rob people of their resources. You know, it is kind of bad that they then killed them. They were like, well, once we let people live and they came back and almost killed us, so now we steal everybody's stuff and then kill them. So that was kind of, you know, that's kind of uncool. But the really worst part is that he betrays Alicia and is like, sorry, Alicia, I have to kill you. And she's like, what? Like, just let's go and we won't come back, dude. My mother saved your life, right? But
yeah, I guess
it was all engineered.
That
part was bad. That makes him a bad person. You're right.
Yeah, but you knew they were all going to die, so it didn't. Yeah.
But it was all engineered.
My point is, when she shot him, it was a little shocking, but at the same time, not shocking that she did, and I liked that.
I liked that she did it.
I think that maybe she could have talked the other people out of it. I feel like those other two people were maybe not...
Doug and Viv?
Like they weren't as ruthless as he were. Yeah, they sounded like they maybe would have listened to her if she had had time to talk to them, not that it worked that way. Yeah.
They were ridiculous because they got eaten by, like, were powered by like three zombies in 2 minutes and died. How did they, like, I don't, the
yeah,
show is so bad, right? The show is so bad that they live all this, they live this all this time. Supposedly the only people who can live now are like awesome zombie killers and can defend yourselves. And they have all, everybody has all these guns and like three zombies show up and nobody shoots them. And then like the way that scene was filmed was so bad because you can see, you know how they shoot through the car window and you just see Doug like turn around and let the zombie bite him.
Viv!
Like,
whatever.
Right?
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Viv! Yeah, and they basically, like, it was loot. It's one of the worst, that was the worst scene of the entire episode, in my opinion, because it was, it's just dumb. It's just bad writing, and it was poorly directed and poorly shot, I thought, also. Like, didn't they
That's
look like,
why
I mean,
I thought that there was going to be, Teddy's group was going to come up and shoot them all. That's what I thought was coming,
yeah.
And I thought
that would make more sense.
Yeah, it actually would make more sense. I mean, I don't know that it would have been better, but it would have made more sense.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Alicia has, like, a stick, and Dakota, who has never been shown to ever fight a zombie at all and presumably was very protected, like, she was so protected her entire life behind the walls of Lawton, right? And I think all she knows is, yeah, I guess Alicia taught her in, like, a day, one day, like,
yeah.
2 days that they were friends, because, like, they grab two sticks and they kill like 15 zombies and then like two zombies overpower people with, and it wasn't just Doug and Viv, it was like six guys who had guns all were eaten by like three zombies.
Yeah, the red shirts.
Terrible. Like, that's the kind of shit that makes me hate this show. Like, they have a decent episode, like a quasi-decent episode, and then stupid stuff like that happens, right?
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit more about Teddy and his plan? What do you think about Teddy's big plan? Like, it's a horrible plan, right?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think it's kind of interesting, that little glimmer of him that knows, you know, that makes sense. But at the same time, he's batshit crazy, so I'm not sure that it makes sense that he made, that part of him makes sense. But I think... It was a little bit interesting. The fact that he's, like, locking her up, not really, and that was not unexpected. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think it's kind of cool that he really didn't care if he lived or not. I think that was interesting.
Yeah.
But his overall plan, I mean, yeah, killing everybody, so the only ones that are left. I mean, we've been saying that and theorized that. I mean, the only thing he really did was confirm what we've been saying for quite a while.
And what the
sub is for. So, I mean, I don't know. It wasn't surprising just because we've been saying that for so long.
Yeah. So I guess I mean the detail of his plan. So in terms of him being willing to die, I get, you know, he's sort of this messianic guy who's, like, going to die so that people can live or whatever, right? It's a little bit like what, I mean, it was stupid when Madison did it. Like, Madison is like, let me run into the burning stadium and have all the zombies follow me so everybody else can escape, which just made no sense at all. And certainly there were, I mean, I think Kim Dickens just had to get off that show, and that's why they wrote that. And so his plan is a little bit similar, except he's a nut job. And he's got this, like, savior complex, right? And also, it's interesting that he was, like, a serial killer, and they haven't really explored that. Like, I don't think it was necessary. Like, this is where the writing's kind of bad, because he's, like, a cult leader with, like, a savior complex or a messiah complex kind of thing, and he's going to, like, kill everyone to save the world. And, like, that's crazy enough. Like, they gave him also a serial killer backstory, and yet he has the fear of killing anyone. Like,
Wayne. I guess he just killed people
and also,
got his way as he went, it sounded
I don't know.
Like. It wasn't necessarily...
I guess because a serial killer would not be able to stop killing, right? And would continue to be... This is not a serial killer show where
that's
he's, like, still killing people.
Well, that's the thing, too. So usually serial killers are certain types of people. Like, either they're completely crazy or they're completely calculated. He kind of is on both sides of the... But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. It seemed like he wasn't so much a serial killer. That's why I said I think he more, like, killed who he got in his way. But the way the show labeled him as a serial killer doesn't really track with everything else, I guess. Like,
right.
It just doesn't make sense.
And it took, I mean, for him to be a cult leader is sort of, like, enough for me, but they needed to tie it to this crazy, ridiculous, this other silly story. I mean, it wasn't silly. It is only sounding silly now. the idea that John Dory's father was a police officer who was driven to catch
a
killer.
I think that's the only
reason
he was a serial killer. Yeah, because of Dory.
Yeah. Like the need to tie these two stories together doesn't make sense. But so I have a lot of other criticisms of Teddy's plan, starting with, I mean, we've talked a lot about the idea that there's a beach submarine in Galveston, which I can't even imagine what strength of storm would be required to toss a submarine inland, right? Like, I mean, we read all these stories about, you'd need like a Indian Ocean tsunami level event to like toss a submarine, I think. Like you know, we've read lots of coverage of major storms in this. Katrina didn't throw any. I mean, of course, it's a different geography or whatever, but like we've talked about this. It's stupid. Also, I think Morgantown, I think I once heard them say that Dallas was 2 hours south. So they live in like, and Lawton was in Oklahoma, right? So they live in the very northern part of Texas, and Galveston is all the way down on the coast, and yet everybody's just...
I don't try to figure out where they're at anymore.
Right? It's like a 12-hour drive, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, somehow they'll get there.
So it's also dumb that Teddy's big plan is that... so basically, people are bad, so I'm going to launch a nuke and wipe everyone out, and then my people will live underground, and they'll come up, and they'll repopulate the Earth, and, like, everything will be great. But there's a flaw in his plan that, like,
just one?
His nuke. Well, yeah. One of the flaws is that setting off a nuke. So let's set aside the part where you need electricity to run the computers to launch the nuclear weapons, and how exactly they're going to like fire up the right? That's all ridiculous. And presumably, you don't just need a key, but you have to have like trajectories, and aren't guided missiles controlled by won't be guided. Like you don't just turn a key and launch a nuke. You have to have a little bit of knowledge how to operate a submarine, right? So there's that, which is also dumb. But the really dumb part, I think, is that he's going to launch this missile. And so, yeah, it's going to be devastating and kill all life, including like the trees and everything, but within a certain blast radius, right? And like everyone in Montana and in Alexandria and in California like goes on living, right? And so, like, there's a huge flaw in this plan, and he's not going to wipe out everybody on the whole planet, like, unless, like, somehow everybody else's, like, computerized nukes are still working all over the world. Presumably the whole world is covered with zombies, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. In his small world of view, maybe, like, they're the only ones left. I mean, he may look at it that way. But, yeah, you're right. It wouldn't – I mean, yes, it would devastate a very large area, but it's not going to kill everybody in the planet. I mean, there's a lot of things that make sense with it. But the fact that –
and there will
like,
still be bad people.
There
like,
or operable is, I think, the biggest
– Yeah.
The biggest flaw.
Like, the savior – there are still bad people, like, savior-type groups or whoever living in, like – Montana and Florida and where and like how does this tie into the CRM, right? Like I don't get that either.
Know.
But so all that makes no sense. I will say the part of his plan that the Alicia part of his plan, like he thinks this person is a great leader, and even though Alicia will be held against her will for like the next 20 years, like she will want to save people and she will be a great leader, right? And when she
yeah,
was
I guess
locked
he just
up,
has to have her. Walked up until they kill everybody else. Then he can, like, let her out because we'll be dead anyway. I do think that part's kind of interesting because it's different. Having her repopulate or whatever maybe isn't the most interesting part of it, but the part that she'll be the leader is what is kind of interesting.
I think they have to stay down there for, like, 20 years, right? Like, people still can't live at Chernobyl, and that was in, like, when was Chernobyl? In, like, the 80s? When Alicia's like 50, when they come up from underground, or I guess the idea is that Alicia will take control of the group underground eventually and be the leader. I don't know,
after the Holocaust or what nuclear Holocaust.
Yeah,
or whatever.
When he locked her in the cell and was like, "I'm sorry, Alicia, but we're going to keep you in here," and like, I really, so it's been a long time since the show made me feel anything other than like disgust. like I actually kind of had a bit of emotion there at the end where I felt really sorry for Alicia, and really I really felt like the irony and the horrible twist of fate there, that like he was gonna lock her up and kill everyone she loved and keep her against her will, and eventually just beat her down and force her to become the new leader because of her innate fantastic qualities. And I actually felt a little like my Grinch heart grew one size. My Fear the Walking Dead Grinch heart grew like one size when I was like, it's been a long time since this show made me actually feel like genuine sympathy for a character. In a way that wasn't overly contrived. So I'll give them that I actually like, you know, because usually I'm like, oh my God, that's so dumb. I can't wait to talk to Jeannie about how dumb this is.
Yeah, usually.
I
like this episode, although I did like, you know, the first couple too, off and on. I don't think this season's been as horrible, but in between there was so much crap it kind of ruined it.
Like, every episode has a dumb
bunch of crap, and then
and there's always some dumb scene, like a bunch of like hardened survivors who get eaten by zombies in like 1 second, right, in an idiotic way. There's always something like that. So let me ask you one thing, because I can't remember. At the very end, before, like, when Alicia, like, she shoots Cole, and then, like, she kind of is going to get away. Right when Teddy's people show up, she's, like, going to get away, and she gets a radio from them, right? And she radios. Was she talking to Morgan or to Strand? That was Strand on the radio, right? Like, she calls.
That was Strand, yeah.
Calls for Morgan,
just
Strand
to
answers.
Yeah, and he happens to be on the right channel, or she knows how to. I mean, is it that easy to get somebody on the radio? That part, I was kind of like, what?
Well, on this show, everyone's yammering on the radio all the time. It's no wonder that all the bad guys knew everything about them. But I thought maybe she was calling Morgan, but she gets Strand on the radio. And she's like, I'm being held captive. They're trying to – I forget exactly what she said, but she did basically say, like, they have
she
a submarine in Galveston. Right? Does she say
that?
What does she say?
She's like, can I trust you? And she's like, you need to do this. You need to get Morgan and tell him that this is here. Because I think she knows that I don't know. I think the point of it was like saying that she knew that if she really needed Strand, that he would come through, as much as he had been being an asshole. Like, she knew that he would listen. Because I feel like if she told Morgan would just be like, oh, let's go rescue Alicia, you know, like, and they would have like launched a rescue, and it would have like not, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's why she called Strand, is because Strand will like be more, I don't want to say analytical, but will be more tactical, I guess, about it.
Yes.
And rather than just, like, rush headlong into it like Morgan would. Although, I'm not sure that her saying they have a sub is going to well, I guess, though, actually, her saying there's a sub does explain it. Because I think if he tells Morgan that, I think Morgan's smart enough, like us, to say, hey, there's keys, you know, that you can figure out what the plan is.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I guess they'll put it all together. I think You're right there. I would say that, you know, Strand is a little more ruthless is what they need in the situation. Like, Morgan also, I mean,
sorry.
Hi, puppy. So Morgan is very much like, we have to save our people, we have to save our people. I think Strand is willing to sacrifice almost anyone, but he will always assist Madison's daughter. Like, Madison was his best friend. And, I think he will always, like, try to look out for Madison's daughter. I do think that Strand would sacrifice Alicia if he had to save the world. And Alicia knows that. Right. I think Alicia.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Strand
is kind of, like, the most important thing, too. That's kind of, like, all that matters, or they're all there.
I guess I would say Strand is more pragmatic, right? And he's more decisive.
Yeah.
And he's a little bit more. Do what has to be done, whereas Morgan might keep trying to save you and keep trying to save you to the last minute to, like, the detriment of everyone. I don't know. It's probably the right call to call Strand in that situation, right?
Yeah. The fact that he just happened to be around the walkie-talkie and she said exactly what she needed to say in 5 seconds is, you know, a whole other issue. But yeah, I did like that she called him.
Yeah.
Sorry, hold on.
So
my dog to lay back down.
Well, and so I think what we're going to see is, like, Morgan and Strand having to work together, and everyone is going to come together.
Oh, yeah.
And I also think, like, Strand is going to save the day. Like, they have been working, like, this whole season and last season, well, it's hard to remember, like, the part before the break and this break, but the front and back half of the season, like, they've made Strand kind of a really bad guy. Like, Strand has been, like, doing his own thing, off on his own, not really, like, you know, aligning himself with Ginny, going his own way. Like, they've really set it up that Strand is, for us to not like Strand and for Strand to be on the outs. And I think, you know, it's a long setup by the writers that we're going to see Strand save the day, or Strand really come through as part of the group. And by the end of the season, you know, by the next two episodes at the end of it, he'll be back in with everyone, I think. Don't you? I mean, Strand is not going to permanently be, like, on the outs.
No, no. But, I mean, I think that was a given. I mean, I don't think that part is surprising.
Yeah, you're right.
But,
you're right. Yeah.
But I like
right about
it.
That.
I mean, I do want him to come back and, you know,
yes,
like you said,
he's
going to save the day. Yeah, that works, whether it's expected or not. I don't dislike that part. But, yeah,
I
think that calling him was the right choice, even though there's no way that she explained it in 5 seconds. But,
Yeah. He needs to come back because one of the better parts of the show is the Alicia and Strand tension. Like, with those two, I like those two as the leaders of the group and the tension between them with their different instincts about what's the right thing to do.
They'd have a much better show if they do that.
I mean, they'd have a much better show, but I hate to say this, but, like, they need to, like, kill Morgan, maybe. Or let Morgan, like, you know. I mean... There's basically no chance that Morgan will go back.
You've been saying that for a long time, Tara.
I know. And he'll never go back to Alexandria because next year is the last year of Walking Dead. So, of the flagship show. Anyway,
I guess we need him. I mean, he was there for people that watched the original show to make people want to watch Fear. But it's like you either watch Fear or you don't watch Fear. We don't need him anymore.
At this point,
And look, Lenny James is fantastic. I'm not saying he's not. But the writers just have ruined his character back and forth so many times. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So so there are two episodes left. I mean, this was decent. It surprises me that I don't hate Teddy as much as I have previously hated him. He got a little better. I did like the part where, you know, the part where he dug up his mother and was kissing her and all, and then that turns out to be a fake out and he's not actually that crazy.
Yeah.
He's just trying to make Alicia think he's that crazy. Was kind of cool and an interesting contrast to some other things like Big Sky.
Yeah.
Yeah. So two more episodes.
Yeah. And then we go back to the regular show.
In August, right? August.
I'm just kind of getting sick of the individual, and it's nobody's fault, but I'm getting sick of, like, the individual character everything. Like, put the groups back together. You know?
COVID, this was all shot pre-vaccination.
No, I know.
This was all shot pre-vaccination. That's part of it, I think.
Yeah.
But they've been doing that.
The beginning of them being separated was not, we found out.
No.
So
well, it's
it
a problem. You have too many characters. Because there are too many people. Kill half the people, please. Like,
But kill the right ones. It's like when they killed Dory.
Yes.
Like, why did you kill him?
No.
He's one of the better characters.
I think Derek Gillihunt might have wanted off the show. Why kill John Dory and leave stupid Sherry on the show, right? And Dakota and, like, Grace and Luciana. Like,
Yeah, we forget Luciana's been there from almost the beginning.
Season
like,
two,
when we
yeah.
talk about, like, her and Strand, she's been there. The problem is they never give her anything to do. And it's sad, too. I feel like she's one of those characters that they put on the show for representation, which is great. Don't get me wrong. There should be. But I feel like it's, like, one of those token characters sometimes where that's what she's there for, and she never does anything. Like, she's, like, a wishy-washy character.
I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, she needs to be stronger.
Yeah. I mean, she did join the show during a season that was set in Mexico. So, I mean, of course you're going to have a Latina, right? She's not just representation.
Right, no, but I'm saying,
you know,
like, she's a good Latina actress, and it's good that she's in there. But I feel like it's one of those characters where, like I said, like, she's been there from the beginning, but we always, when we're talking about the characters, I always forget about her. Like, she's forgettable because they never have to do anything. Like, she was at Tank Town, and that part was a little bit important. But, like, I don't know. They need to give her something to do.
I agree. All right, well, I guess maybe we'll do something in the next two episodes. Probably not, because the men are going to, you know, it's the men who are going to come to the rescue. It's going to be Morgan and Stran and Dwight who are going to, and maybe maybe Sherry will bring her the MRAP. But, you know, there's going to be like a fight. We're going to watch a ridiculous gunfight over a submarine. So just prepare yourself for that ridiculous scene that's coming, right?
Yeah, all the bullets to stay out, but they somehow pass again, right?
Prepare yourself for that. So, all right. So maybe we should move on. We've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah, we have.
We're going to have
the whole
show. It was a decent episode. It wasn't great, but it was, you know,
good.
Okay. But by fear standards, it was very good.
Yes.
So.
All right. So let's move on to Van Helsing.
Van Helsing.
Right?
Oh, my God. So frustrating.
Episode. I like Julius a lot. He's one of my favorite characters. I was glad he got an episode in a sense, but, like, what was the point of introducing a new character? And this is what I was waiting to tell you, because you're talking about, you know, about them adding new content. There was absolutely no reason to add this character. Like, this episode was a throwaway. It didn't add anything. Like I said, I liked seeing more of him. That was great, but I feel like they could have found a better way to do it. Like, there's really not even, in my opinion, anything in this episode to talk about. He had a girlfriend. He wants her to be human, she wants him to be vampire.
Yeah.
He finds out she was evil from the beginning. Like, there was no substance to this episode.
And like, of course he had a girlfriend, he's like 200 years old. I agree with you that we already had enough backstory on Julius. Like, we already saw how he was created and how his mother had tuberculosis and then he bit her and made her a vampire so she'd live. Like, we knew he was like a mama's boy. That's all I needed to know about him. And when he was introduced, he was like a powerful part of the vampire ruling class. When we first met him in season one. And I actually felt like this episode undermined the Julius that we know. And they made him this sort of like, I mean, I think that what's her name, Nina, was kind of a bitch and she kept calling him a bottom feeder, and he really wasn't. He was like a guy trying to survive and following the rules. I didn't like it. I thought it wasn't the Julius that we know to fall under the spell of a woman like that. And then for him to be such a, so he hasn't seen her since like 1985, right? So that's like, what, like 35 years ago. And for him to be such a doormat for her after everything he's been through. Plus, I thought he was in love with that girl who got killed in Colorado Springs or Fort Collins or whatever, the bar owner. In fact, that's who I thought it was at first.
Oh, I completely forgot about that.
Remember that woman that he was in love with who ran the bar? For a second, I was like, that's that woman that Scar or Scab or whatever his name was killed her. Because why would I think it was a new girlfriend?
Yeah, the idea of giving Julius an episode, good. The episode they gave him, not good.
Yes, I agree with you. And a waste of my time.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, I don't think we actually got any content out of this episode. The only thing we really got out of this episode was the last few minutes about the fact of the Dark One, which really we still didn't. She's setting something, you know, it's setting something up, something's coming, but it doesn't actually explain what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it was a gigantic waste of time in the final season to introduce a person from his past that doesn't even tell us anything about him, a character we know very well.
Like Monster of the Week, one-off episode that gave us no info.
Yeah. And then all she says is, like, I know things about the Dark One. And we don't ever really learn what it is she knows, because maybe she was bullshitting the whole time. Like, did she ever know anything? Actually, it's kind of news to me that there are vampires. So she's a day, like, everyone's a daywalker now. There's not even any vampires that have to hide at night. They're all daywalkers. They're all, like, intelligent daywalkers. And, you know, the idea that Nina had a territory that she ruled and that she was the leader of a brood, as they call it, is something that we haven't really seen at all, right? Like, it didn't surprise me because it's not, right? Yeah. I mean, I understood it because it's not...
The main thing is she's saying that Dracula, because I'm reading right now, I'm on Sci-Fi Wire, and I'm reading the article, and it says that she says that Dracula's consolidating all the leaders of the broods into one massive force for something big. But, like, how does that tell us anything? Like,
well,
okay, Dracula's bad. We knew that.
When's the last time we saw... Do we ever see broods as a thing on the show? So back in season one and season two, there were sort of like clans
really
or houses,
like
the early seasons, but they were sort of the ruling class that were trying to consolidate. It was more political. It wasn't this idea of a brood and a, and I understood it because it's not out of line with other vampire stories that we've seen, but that was sort of a new thing that was thrown in there. And then that there's a vampire Delta Force, which is basically, I guess, because Dracula controls the government, like, you know, I'm not down with this whole bit
so
of like it's
that.
Some sort of U.S. government control thing.
Invulnerable. Well, they're not invulnerable. That isn't even a word.
No, invulnerable is a word.
I guess it is, but it's not the word I was looking for. They're not. They're not immune to the orange powder, which was the point of where I was going. With
well,
that.
Nobody is. It kills humans also,
no,
apparently,
right?
Right.
There was that. That part, I guess, was one takeaway that maybe was important about the government. But we already knew that she took over and was pretending to be the president, so I don't know that it was...
Yeah. I know. So it was kind of a waste of time.
Coming up is better. Yeah.
Like, nothing really happened that was... Yeah.
Right.
And there was this little bit going on where... So we know that the orange powder took away Julius and Axel's healing abilities. Because I guess it took away the vampire part of them a little bit, right? But they still, when Nina bites Axel, his blood tastes horrible, right? Because he's converted. Mm-hmm. And also, like, Doc invented this drug that I remember her giving it to Julius and saying, be careful with it. But Julius got shot in the chest pretty badly and was bleeding. And he drinks a couple drops of this stuff, and his healing ability is returned to him, right?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like a booster or something that gives...
I know. It doesn't make any sense
to me. I don't know
if
it makes sense, but I would take it as because he couldn't heal on his own, that's why she made this concoction. Because she makes a point, of, I think, of saying, like, this is all she has and it isn't tested.
And
so,
yeah, and if you drink too much of it, you'll have too much adrenaline. I think it's kind of dumb because, like, if I'm talking to the writers, like, why write a storyline that takes away their healing ability and then have to have a character make a drug to give them back their healing ability? Don't even mess with that. Like, just let it be what it is. So it was overall a very frustrating episode. It was a waste of an hour. It was a waste of an hour. Nothing happened. And
then
the enemy gets killed
anyway. It was a one-off episode. They introduced the character, got rid of him. Like, it was like filler. It had no point. I think the next episode, I don't know. I want to say the next episode is split. The next episode has some good things that I think move the story along, but then it also has some things I was really didn't like. So, but at least the next episode, at least the next episode definitely moves the story along, which we need, unlike this episode.
Yeah.
So,
I think the thing that bothered me the most was at the end I really didn't like the end was kind of gimmicky where you see Julius in the car and he's crying and you don't know who's driving and you're like, ooh, who won, Axel or Nina? I mean, is there any part of us who really believed that Axel hadn't killed her, right? Then it's Axel and... I didn't really love the way Julius was so upset and crying and so, like, he's never mentioned Nina. We've never heard that there's a long-lost love. He loved that woman in Fort Collins who owned the bar, whose name I can't remember. And, like, he's all broken up about this. Like, that, the ending kind of was, like, the worst, I think. But they made it that, like, everyone had to kill Julius was one she loved.
This character before, it wouldn't have been so.
I don't think so.
Sucks though because like he, I don't know. It just makes me sad because Julius is like my favorite character, and I like that they took an episode to do I don't know that we needed more backstory on him.
We did
I
not.
Feel like
we did not.
We could have gotten something good. They could have had, even if it was a one-off episode, at least make it count. I don't know. This one was disappointing to me on a lot of levels. And I agree with what you said, too. It's kind of, the way you said it, too, was right. It undermined his character. Like, it made it like he wasn't as, I don't want to say good, because I don't mean it like he was a good character, but I mean it kind
you
of.
Mean, yeah, he was a good character. He was a good character.
No, I mean good. Yeah, when it I made, say good, I mean good, like not evil good. I mean, I'm not saying he was a good guy, but I mean like it.
No.
I don't know.
When
it,
he was introduced to us.
His story we didn't need.
Well, he was a strong, strong person who was like high, like he didn't lead a family, but he was like a high general, right?
Weak. Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah. Well, it makes him like. It presents him as he'd been this, like, sort of sad sack loser who was barely getting by, and this woman, like, convinced him that we can live like kings, and then she goes away, and he's back to being a loser again. We know that at the time of the Rising, in the aftermath of the Rising, he is one of the leading, leading powerful person. So, it just, like, why would they? It was a revisionist history, right? It was a revisionist history of him.
Yeah.
And while I enjoy seeing him and Axel as much as you do, and they're two main characters, we have a whole episode that doesn't advance storyline. We don't see Kelly Overton. We don't, see anything move forward at all while this goes on. Yeah, very frustrating. I'm really, really not happy at all. There's really nothing that I like about the final season so far. Really, there's very little to like about the season so far because we haven't seen anything. So, I mean, Jack had this time in the past, which maybe was kind of interesting, but again, did not need an origin story for Bathory or Michaela or the Dark One, right? Didn't really care. I really don't like this season at all, really. We had last week was a waste of time Monster of the Week episode also.
Yeah, but at least it was relevant to the story.
This week was kind of
out of left field. There was no...
I understand that maybe that they shot this during COVID and they wanted to have a story with only three characters, but they could have written something that was relevant and moved things along. Like, I can't fault shows for having to do two and three characters at a time. I can't fault them for crappy writing.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Not like.
I guess that's a great question.
All right. I'll stop ranting now. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. And I will still be doing my interview with Nicole that got derailed. That didn't happen. That didn't go. I had told you, people don't know, but I had had to cancel it. I don't know if I said that last time or not. I had to cancel it.
You might have mentioned it.
Yeah, I think I did. So I did, we are still going to do that. That just unfortunately had to be moved. But that will
That's
still
great.
Happen. We'll talk about the good parts of the show, right?
Okay. All right. So we're done ranting about those two.
So we want to move on
to
Big Sky.
What are we going to rant about next?
What would you like to rant about?
Next?
Well, this is the season finale of Big Sky, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank God.
I want to go first this time because I have a problem with it. Okay. Part of me liked, and let me get my whole thought out. I kind of liked the idea that maybe Ronald was this important part of the prostitution ring potentially, and that he played it off and like nobody knew about it and everything, and that he was playing what's his face. But the problem I have with that, like, that could have been good. The biggest problem I have of that is that there was absolutely no clues, no lead up, no anything saying that this was happening for anybody to even suspect it. It was like, we want to do something else crazy to shake up the story, so let's make it that, Ronald was this big important person. Like, it had no connection to the rest of the story. Like, I like that they were trying to do something, but you can't just – it's like when a story that wants to do something and they make, like, the most favorable character the murderer just so you're surprised. Like it was done for shock value and made no sense. That was my biggest problem with this episode. There were some moments here and there that were, exciting, but for the most part, it was so annoying. Like, you knew that he was going to totally, and I even said that last week before the end of the episode, I said, he's going to make it like he kidnapped her or whatever, and she's this innocent person, and, you know, they're going to believe it. But the fact that he, like, murdered other people when there was nothing to indicate this through the whole season that he had killed anybody, because they pretty much had him say that he didn't. And like, you find out
that's
that
not true,
like,
Jamie.
Other side never, huh? I'm sorry?
They alluded to it the whole time with his mother. His mother kept saying, is this going to be another incident? Is this going to be another, you know, that's the incident, this Kelly person.
Well,
right,
his mother kept talking about...
Let me rephrase that. Him doing something weird like that, yes. But I'm saying the fact that he was like this mastermind, they didn't allude to. Like this just came out of field. That's what I'm talking about. Like, maybe that he did something like that, killed her, yes, but I still feel like they kind of pulled that out of their butts and it wasn't originally in the story. But we did say before how originally this was a shorter season and they added episodes. So it is completely possible that it never was part of the story and they added it. We didn't see any of this till the little, like, where he was talking to somebody in the barn or I think we thought it was barn. I don't know, with, like, the birthday thing. But, it's not that I have a problem with the fact that he killed somebody else. It's the fact that there were moments before where they made it like he didn't want to kill people, like it wasn't quite his nature, like he was messed up but not a killer. I don't know. It just, to me, seemed like this story was definitely tacked on after the fact. And the fact that he was, like I said, like this big mastermind, like I could have appreciated the story, but it didn't make sense. But that's my complaint, is that it's not that it didn't make sense, that it didn't track. Like, it wasn't I don't believe that was originally part of the story. Does that make sense?
So I want to let AJ go, but I want to clarify a little bit here. He's not the mastermind. He took that hard drive out of Rick's house.
He's not
that
mastermind.
For Rick. No, he's not anyone. That was Rick's escape plan. And he murdered Rick and stole it. Rick had not shared that with him. The guy who
That's
showed
why he
up
wanted to get Rick's
wearing,
house.
The guy who was showed up was wearing a state trooper uniform, and later Scarlet is expunged. And I think that the real conspiracy is that law enforcement is heavily involved in this trafficking ring,
right,
and they want to save each
I'm
other.
Saying, like, I don't believe, maybe I'm not explaining right. I guess what I'm saying is that I don't believe that Ronald was this smart enough character to be able to work enough out to be like, you're going to call the ones that are in charge of this and they're going to save us. And like, I don't know. Like,
well,
I just don't see that happening. Like,
because it was on the hard drive.
But
he read it on the hard drive.
Like, I don't believe that he came up with that plan. Does that make sense?
He did not, because he didn't. The plan was to save Rick.
No.
Rick's escape stuff. It's Rick's escape stuff.
Right,
not...
but the fact that he... Yes, but what I'm saying is I don't believe that Ronald was smart enough after he found the hard drive to be able to put this together. Yeah, you're right. It was Rick's plan, but I'm saying, like, I don't see him working that out.
Well, why not? We don't know. There was a ton of files on that hard drive, and he told Scarlett to look at the Excel spreadsheet and pull up a phone number. We saw there were multiple files on there, and Scarlett only opened the one. So there could have been many instructions.
But I guess what I'm saying is I don't know that I buy that these people that are all in on this and the cops and that it wouldn't matter to them who did it.
That's a separate argument.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying, like, the fact that he was not – he wasn't Rick. The fact that he was able to make this work not being Rick, like, it just doesn't make sense.
But that's
to me. I don't know.
But that's a different
like
argument. All right, AJ, why don't you talk about what you thought about this episode?
Well, my first thought was, oh, good, the bad wig is gone. But then I was like, wait a minute. It was actually a wig he was wearing for 6 months and nobody knew. It was a fucking wig. No. See, I would have felt better if she went and got him a haircut instead of taking the fucking wig off his head. Because that just made it worse. That it was actually a wig and not just them throwing a wig on him to make it look like longer period of time.
Good point.
So
he had time to grow out his hair and dye it, and Scarlett was sleeping with him for 6 months and never knew it was, and the wig never came off. Yeah.
A wig.
Well, but Scarlett knew everything.
Okay, that's neither here nor there. It's still bad. I was glad Jerry was the one that got him. That was a great moment. That's probably the nicest thing I can say about the entire episode. You know, Jenny knew that Scarlett was full of shit. I could care less about next season, but clearly the Klein Saucers or whatever the hell their name is, that story isn't completely done because of that little cupcake moment.
Thing,
But that's neither here nor there. My big, huge problem with the episode, okay, which was absolutely ridiculous. Jenny shoots the one guy as he comes around. Shoots him. Doesn't warn him. Doesn't say, hey. Just shoots him. Shoots him dead. Because he's trying to kill her. She shoots him first. Great. Okay? The other guy has the gun on Cassie. Okay? There's no time to think. She says, hey, and then doesn't pull the trigger. Pull the fucking trigger. Just shoot the guy. Just shoot him. No, I'm going to say, hey, and then he's going to shoot it. He's going to shoot me through the fucking scope on the gun and shoot me in the stomach so that I survive because while gunshots hurt like hell, I hear, they are survivable. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay? Now, are you kidding me?
How does Cassie steal a cop car? Like, they just let, at least after she steals it, they're all like, hey, don't take our car. But how the hell does a person who's not a cop, like do that?
Because Jenny told her to go get him.
The gun and steals the car. I know.
Well, I think the police academy did not train them to turn off the car and remove the keys. They just left the car running, apparently.
Apparently.
My biggest problem with this episode, you guys, and I had a lot of problems, my biggest problem was that there is an escape plan. So let me tell you, if I ran an international human trafficking ring, and if you get caught by the police, I don't send someone to rescue you. I send someone to put a bullet in your head. The fact that Ronald is still alive is shocking to me, and that there's a rescue attempt for someone who is – there's no indication that he's a mastermind. Jamie's absolutely correct. He's some mid-level, low-level schlomp working with Rick. They're just like the local branch of the ring, right? And the people at the top of this would kill them, right? They would kill Rick. When Rick got taken in, I can't believe they didn't assassinate him in the hospital, but I guess he died. And the fact that they, when they ram the car, okay, I'm thinking they're going to kill him because he needs to be killed to not expose the ring, but that they're going to rescue him and send him across the border and give him, first of all, I don't think Canada's a great place to escape to. We have extradition. Whatever, right? But they're going to run him across the border, and that they're going to let Scarlett go with him, right? But not the kid. Whole thing was,
there's
no way. Yeah.
It's okay, because Canada has really good wigs. No, it's okay, because Canada has really good wigs.
They'll never
find them.
That's my biggest problem, that the ring, the people at the top of the ring wouldn't be like, this guy's got to be killed. Because that they're going to help him escape is just crazy. I mean,
what I was trying to say, but explained a lot better than I did.
Okay. I mean, the idea that there's an escape plan for Legarski was the higher level operative, but the idea that they're going to disappear anyone, like that there's this sort of loyalty among thieves, and they're going to help. Why is anyone that important in this ring, right? Like, there's money. There's so much money and so much criminal. And maybe I'm a bit swayed by the number of unfortunately, there's so much popular culture about human trafficking of women into sexual slavery and things like this, and they're always like very ruthless Middle Eastern European, like Albanian smuggling rings that, like, whether Denzel Washington or Liam Neeson or whoever's got to kill them all. But, like, nobody ever gets, like, yeah, to me that's the most ridiculous part. Although as I watched it, I kind of thought, like, I haven't read these books, but this does seem like the ridiculous type of thing that happens in one of these, like, contemporary mystery novels about, you know, it's one reason why I don't, like, it seemed to me like, yeah, this could be in the book. I haven't read the book, but this could be in the book. My second most ridiculous part of this episode was that all the Kleinsasser sons have died within, like, a week of each other. And then the father miraculously just croaks on the floor, right? Like,
oh,
like,
she poisoned him.
She had to poison him because it was too convenient for him to just choke on his pill, right? She poisoned it. She actually mentioned a couple episodes ago that she had tried to poison him in the past and he lived. AJ's right. At first I was like,
bad writing.
Well,
because
I did
the rest
too.
Of it is bad writing.
I did too at first, Jamie. I was like, well, at first I was like, it's so convenient that he's just choking to death right now. And then I was like, oh, she must have poisoned him. Then he's like dead on the floor and like the police don't. So I guess the police figure the sons all killed each other, which is the truth. But the father conveniently croaks and the doctors are like, oh, natural causes, whatever. We have no idea what he, come on. Like the idea that Michelle Forbes and Cheyenne, the daughter, just get away with it because the doctor's like, oh, whatever, he conveniently died of natural, like, that was kind of dumb also, right? But it, not as dumb as an international human smuggling ring feeling like Ronald is worthy of being smuggled into safety. That was crazy. So to AJ's point about the Kleinsasser story not being finished, on the one hand, I'd like to see more Michelle Forbes. On the other hand, Cheyenne still appears to be the star. Like, maybe I would have liked to have seen Michelle Forbes walk into that detective agency and say, here's some cupcakes, thank you for helping my family. Might have been put a different mood to it and been a different level of creepy. Because I feel like Cheyenne just needs a spanking. Like, could Jenny just turn her over here and spank her?
That's a different TV show, Karen.
No, it is, but seriously, isn't she like a little brat who needs a punishment? She's just a little smart-ass brat.
Yeah.
And I want to put her on my knee and smack her ass and be like, you child need to, you know, like, I don't know. I don't want to see more of Cheyenne. I don't really want to see more of Kleinsasser either. I do like Michelle Forbes, and she was criminally wasted this season.
Well, Karen, yeah. Are you saying you're going to watch next season?
No. I'm saying
okay.
In a world where the show doesn't suck, I mean, no way. It's been renewed, right? There's no way I'm watching it. This show is horrible.
Oh, I don't know.
Renewed.
This show is terrible.
My big eye roll moment of the episode, though, was when we find out Ligursky has a twin. So I guess John Carroll Lynch still has a job because you know he's showing up again.
Yeah. I wonder, though, the way this thing's written so bad, though, if they're somehow going to try to say that wasn't really him that was in the hospital. I hope not, because that's what I was kind of wondering, if that was where they were going.
Artie and I had a conversation about that. But that they there's no way they could do it that way. That was absolutely Ligursky. There's no way you can switch that one around.
Yeah. No, that was Rick. I thought the same thing when I heard them say he's a twin. I was like, oh, he'll be in it again. And then I thought, gee, if I had a twin and I was in the hospital with amnesia, I would hope my twin would come to visit me in the hospital. Like, that was news to everyone, right? Like, not only did his twin not show up at the hospital, but But Jenny and Cassie had been investigating him forever. Everyone had been investigating Rick, and no one ever mentioned that he's a twin. And it's like, all of a sudden, what? He's a twin? Oh, and that comes up, right? I wonder if it's going to be that his twin brother is also a cop somewhere, and his brother got him into the ring or something. Like, his brother's, right? His brother's going to be in the smuggling ring.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's going to be a villain. Yeah. Because why introduce him if he's not a villain? There's no point for him to be in it.
Exactly.
Like, he'll definitely be in it next year. He'll be a villain. It'll be him that maybe got his brother into it. Maybe he's the big – maybe that's why there was a plan to extricate Rick from the ring, because his brother's the mastermind.
Maybe.
And maybe the only person who could be rescued is Rick. And that's why.
But
that's
I guess my point, like, why would they just substitute Rick for somebody else? That was kind of my point.
Because they
like,
don't know.
I know why.
Maybe the one who saved him were kept in the dark and didn't know that he wasn't the mastermind. I guess that's possible. I still don't think
I know why. I know why. Because the actor that plays Ronald is still got to be in the show.
Yeah. I mean, on the one hand, I felt like this was the escape plan for Rick, and Rick Scarlet calls and gives the code, and they just go into action. And these people do not really, the lower level people in this operation, they don't know who they're rescuing. All they know is they get the call with the right code words,
maybe,
and they go into action, right?
I could maybe buy that part. I just feel like Ronald wasn't smart enough to somehow figure it out. So, I mean, I know he didn't set it up. I'm not
he's definitely
he did,
smart, Jamie.
Plan,
he's not. He has concealed
smart
that he's
the rest of the show.
Jamie.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, he has concealed that he's a serial killer from everyone, including us, for all this time. He kidnapped these women without being detected and kept them in this little bunker that he built. He's not unintelligent.
I guess this is my point. You're right. You're right. I get that.
He's
I guess
buffoon.
My point is that when you have a show like this, like there should have been some indication of some of that early on. I still feel like the way I watch it and the reason why it irritates me is I feel like the writers in the beginning or in the middle of the season when they said, hey, we have 6 more episodes, they said, let's make it that he's the serial killer, that he did all these smart things,
yes,
and nobody else suspected it. That's why it irritates me, because it doesn't, to me, it feels like it was added as an afterthought. It doesn't feel
like
it. No,
legit. It was definitely alluded to.
No.
It was definitely alluded to.
It was in the first 10 episodes where Rick had – Jimmy, it was definitely in the first 10 episodes where Rick says to Ronald, I have – hey, don't go against me. I have secret information that I'm keeping in a wall. I didn't say it's in the wall of my house.
No.
But
I get
he does
that.
Threaten
I'm
Ronald
saying I
early.
Don't buy – what I'm saying wasn't alluded to is I don't buy that – what's this, that Ronald was this smart. I'm saying like that, like that
he smart. You're saying he wasn't smart enough to read a hard drive and say, oh, this is how you get escaped?
Yeah,
but
what
was he not smart enough to do?
It set up, they tried to make, I don't know, just to me it just feels like they added it after. I don't know. I just don't find
it
believable.
Feel like,
then again, none of this show's believable.
I mean, I agree with you. His whole serial killer past is being added in as an afterthought. Like, he was definitely
right,
a creepy dude who was emotionally stunted and weirdly attached to his mother. But like the idea that he kept a woman the whole thing where he kept that woman in that bunker, to me that was disturbing. Like, I told you guys earlier that I don't want to watch that. That's not a show I don't want to watch, right? About, about men abusing women in that way. And one of the things that I liked in the beginning part of the show was that Grace and Danielle and Jerry were strong women who, like, got the upper hand sometimes and fought hard to survive And then we get these back 6, and it moves into Ronald being really a very conventional, schlocky mystery story killer. Like that idea that he has this woman in a room with birthday cakes and dolls and frilly canopy bed or whatever, I was like, oh, my God, this is like every crap paperback book I've ever seen in an airport, right? Like, so unoriginal. And then he just leaves her, and then the idea that he just left her there to die, to starve and die of thirst was, a little further than I want this show to, this show is nothing more than a guilty pleasure. And that was a little too far for me, I think. I was like, oh, really? Like, the show is going there now. This type of, yeah. But it's all, you're right, it's all added in after. He wasn't, like, in the first 10, he was a creep and definitely had issues, but now he's a serial killer. It's all new, Jamie, in the last, I agree with you. It's all, like, now he's, like, you know, yeah, and a stalker and a, yeah. And he's saying, oh, there are more bodies. I also think, can we just talk about the Marshall mustache guy? I forget his name. Like, were you screaming at your TV about the way that he's the worst interrogator? Like, he's totally falling for Ronald hook, line, and sinker. And Jenny and Cassie are like, are you serious?
Exactly.
You're going to, like...
And he's been missed... Well,
and this guy has been Mr. by the book since we met him, and he's like, we cannot wait for the interrogation team to get here. We're going to lose our advantage. And, like, let's definitely take him in a car with very little backup except Sheriff Tubbs, who's, like, proven incompetent since episode one. And they're like, yeah, let's definitely let Ronald, like, that's another thing we've seen. I'm thinking about the movie Seven. I'm thinking about so many of the things I've seen where the killer is like, take me in a car and I'll show you. And it's always a setup, and, like, yeah, that was, like, I just wanted to reach in my TV and throttle him, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, he may be dead, so they really didn't
think.
Well,
we can only hope.
Like,
he's not going to be, yeah, except he won't be dead because they're alluding to a romance between him and Jenny.
Yeah. I know. I like them. I don't know that I like them. I don't know that I buy their romance. I buy a friendship. I don't know that I buy.
You know.
But I do like
I have a question.
Yeah.
It's something I noticed. I don't know how I didn't catch. I didn't think of this sooner, but maybe it was just, you know, I was excited that the episode was coming to an end and I'm not watching it anymore. All of a sudden I realized.
Yep.
Is. Oh, what state are they in again?
Montana.
Yeah. Is Cassie the only black woman in the state of Montana?
She's the only black person in the state of Montana, as far as we can tell, right? We haven't seen any more black people.
I think it's, I haven't, you know, and then I, and
her
I
dad.
Think,
Who's her dad? We saw
her
dad.
Right. Yeah, and her kid, who we saw all once. But
yeah,
other than that, I don't even see black people walking down the street in the show.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Like, and then it got me thinking, and I'm like, okay, apparently, Marshall Mustache is the only Hispanic person in town, and Tubbs is the only Native American in town.
Apparently. it's a very white town.
Yeah. I mean, I think that woman cop might be, she might be indigenous also, right?
Sharon Taylor.
Yeah.
I forgot about her. Yeah.
She's
Native American also.
Person. I mean, yeah, I think that it's a pretty white show. Now, I got to tell you, I've been to Montana only twice. I've been there twice to visit. Both times I went to kind of a college town, and I went to a music festival that was a pretty white people music festival. Like, I went to see the Decemberists play. I saw mostly white people when I was there. But I think I went to, like, a pretty white town in Montana. I certainly would not extrapolate that experience to be, like, Montana's all white. We know that Montana has tons of indigenous people and probably has as many black and people as any other part of the country, right? It is kind of – and this show has gotten a lot of criticism for underrepresentation of indigenous people. And, like, Montana has a huge problem with, like, crime against indigenous women and all the women – who in this show are, like, blonde, right? I mean, I guess on the Kleinsasser Ranch, Rosie and her father, I couldn't speak to their ethnicity, but they're not blonde, right? Like, Rosie's has a little bit of a, she has darker hair.
Yeah.
I don't remember her last name. I don't remember Rosie's last name, unfortunately. But most of the people, like, on the show are pretty, Yeah, there's what. Yeah, she's the only. Jenny's Cassie's the only black person in town, in the state.
Yeah, at any rate, that's not a good thing that they've done this.
No, it's not.
Why they...
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I feel free. I'm not watching this show next year. This show is terrible.
Yeah, me either.
The show,
who liked it?
It just went all downhill.
I didn't like it.
I kind of liked it. No, so I wouldn't say I ever
thought
it was good.
I found it intriguing at times.
This is kind of one of those crazy shows you watch because it's crazy, not because it necessarily makes sense. But
it was never excellent viewing, but there was a time in the front end where we were like, wow, I can't wait to find out what happened. Then Jerry's a really good character, and Grace and Danielle are actually kind of believable, particularly Grace, the kick-ass sister.
There's certain parts of the show, I think, that are good, and there's other parts that are so horrible it kind of overshadows the good parts.
Well,
like,
all that's
very true.
In the first six episodes.
No, but I mean, we've said before, we've said a couple of times, like, there's certain things about it, like, the core of the friendship cop show between two main characters could be good. They're just running it to the ground, I guess, for lack of a better description.
We got two other shows to talk about. So.
Yeah,
AJ wants to move along. So we've got to, let's take Debris.
Yes, Debris.
Right?
God, take Debris.
Debris season finale. Yes, another show that I'm not going to watch next year. And the preface, I was so happy to see John Noble. It's not enough for me to watch.
I know. I know. I sat there, I saw John Noble, and I went,
Yeah.
And I like, you know, I got to say, actually, this might actually be the best episode of the season. Unfortunately for me, it's too little too late. Because this is the first episode where I got any type of answers. It was very mythology. You introduce somebody like John Noble, which should be like a reason for me to want to keep. That's how bad this show is. Okay, I saw John Noble, and I'm still not going to watch next season. Okay, it just. I mean, the episode itself was actually pretty good. I thought it was, you know. Some things that we've been questioning and not making sense to us kind of, I feel, make sense now. Like, I totally bought that her father's been full of shit this whole time, and we've even suspected that he's been full of shit this whole time, you know? The fact that he's working with Influx makes perfect sense to me. I thought that was funny what's her name there?
Fionnuala.
Yeah. When she was talking to the one guy, and he's like, you know, he's like, we created this group because of what we all are. And she's like, Influx? And he's like, no, humans. I was like, oh my God, that might be one of the most corniest lines on a TV. Like, she's like, oh, is that what you guys call yourself, Influx? Because you're Influx? Like, what?
Yeah. Jamie said to me something that I think, AJ, you would really agree with. Do you remember what you texted me, Jamie, about this episode?
That it should have been mid-season?
Yes, Jamie. That was like the smartest thing anyone's ever said about the show.
I liked this show from the beginning, and I know you guys don't, you haven't been willing, it's been too much. But, I mean, even I can say the biggest problem is that it, and it's exactly what you said, AJ, too little, too late. Now, see, for me, I'm willing to keep watching it because I enjoyed it enough that I can say, yeah, this really should have been mid-season. That's the biggest problem with this show. But I still think it was good enough that I want to know more. But I think that most people are probably on your side where it should not have taken this long to get any answers. It's like they put so much filler in the middle. That's the problem, is there were so many Monster of the Week episodes.
If you didn't hear it, really.
Other than the glowing ball of light, it was a good episode.
Yeah. If you didn't hear it really, AJ, what Jamie said was this episode should have happened at mid-season.
Yeah.
And then more should have followed, right? And I agree with
Noel. Yeah,
Noel is terrible, and we'll get to that.
Definitely should have introduced John Noble
sooner. Yeah, I mean, this was the 13th episode, unless this was like a 22-episode season, which obviously it's not. Still, there was would have been too much in between. But, yeah, it took way too long to get here. But I do kind of like the idea of where it went. But that's the problem. I just don't know that most people are willing to hang around long enough to wait. I don't know, though. I think the ratings are pretty good, though. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's a good chance maybe it'll come back. But I'm sorry?
You know what the worst part about?
They were flat this week. They're not up for the season. The ratings were flat.
I was glad about this particular episode, but.
Yeah. Go ahead,
AJ. You know what the worst part is? It didn't feel like 13 weeks.
There are so many worse parts. It felt like
13
weeks.
But no, it felt because everything was so monotonous and the same every week, I couldn't tell you which week was which. You know, like the fact that this is the finale and it's been, I just went with it. You guys are like, it's the season finale. I said, okay. And just now when you said it's been 13 weeks, we've been watching this show for 13 weeks.
Haven't gotten enough for 13 weeks. That's what I said. Like, this should have been, like, episode 6 or something.
Yeah.
And that, I think,
nothing
is the biggest problem with
has
the
happened at all until the 13th episode.
There were enough, like, to me, there were enough good things. Like, I want to know what happens that I want to watch more. Now, this isn't like I normally would have been at something like Fringe where, like, oh, I have to watch more. Like, I want to know what happens.
Yes.
I don't know that I'm like, oh, I can't wait till next season. Like, I don't feel like, oh, I have to know right now, but I'm interested to know. I like the part that I want to know about, and this was just like such a little throwaway thing, but to me it was like made me more think of Fringe. It's what the hell is up with whatever degree Otto used to fold those people up? And like, I find it interesting that maybe Anson was not, he did not really, I mean, I don't know that he per se cared that he killed people, but he didn't seem like he wanted to kill people.
Approved.
Like, he seemed a little kind of like, you did this, why did you kill all these people? Like, I'd like to see more of that because we don't have enough of him being a character. Like, I was surprised to see that, and I shouldn't have been surprised because we should know more.
No, you were, because,
more about
one of my major problems with the show is that the villains were so boring and impotent for the entire, like, Influx was barely anything for the entire season, right? They're like, just
you
a couple
say
of guys who
John
almost
Noble in sooner.
Like Anson Ash, does he say 5 lines in the entire season? Like, they barely speak or do anything. They're so boring. They're the most boring and stupid villains ever. Like, oh my God. Like, they were terrible, terrible villains with who really never did anything or had any action or any motivation or anything. They're so boring. But all we saw was them. They had some, so they could teleport, which is kind of a big superpower and yet sort of like limited in its interest, right? Like, once you see a guy teleport once, you're like, whatever. Like, you can't keep showing that for 5 episodes and expect me to get excited about it, right?
Yeah.
And then all
the first
sudden,
time he did it,
they introduced. Yeah, the first time he did it, we were like, "Whoa, he can teleport!" Right? And after that, we're like, "Okay, what else? You have like 10 pieces of debris in your body, and all you can still do is teleport." And so they wait until the last episode, and then we get this guy, John Noble plays this guy Otto, who has total superpowers, right? Like, he can fold people's bodies in half, and he can, like, remember when he held his hand over Brian's head, and Brian's like, "Oh,
yeah, I don't
and I'm
know."
Like,
if he-
Yeah.
Read minds.
He appeared to not,
or whatever the heck. Oh, wait. I
he appeared to not actually.
Said,
he appeared to not
I
actually
AJ
do anything to
said.
Brian. Oh,
no,
go ahead.
No, we're
go
not
ahead.
Sure it just seems to be my head. But I just got to tell AJ, I'm so lost too, because I couldn't believe you misunderstood what I said. I said to Karen in my text, I'm like, what's up with John Noble's Aussie accent? Because I thought it was funny, because were you seriously it with a British accent? And she goes, he's supposed to be from Australia.
He is from Australia.
I know that, but I knew that. That's why I said he had an Aussie accent. That was my comment.
I thought Jamie, like, didn't know that he was Australian and was
no,
shocked.
No, I was
meaning,
like, what's
accent.
Up with it? Like, it's funny because he was, I just was saying, like, he sounded so different. And you're like, well, he's from Australia. And I just wanted to say to you, I was like, yeah, yeah, no shit. That was what I just said. I don't know.
You're
to me, it was funnier, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess AJ didn't find it funny.
No.
I found it funny when you said that to me.
Yeah.
but that was,
anyway,
that was my point I was making.
Yeah. At any rate, I don't love that they introduced this guy with total superpowers in the last 5 minutes. I know it's supposed to be shocking, but we've seen nothing to indicate that influx. Yeah, while they do, while we kind of knew there was more to them than meets the eye, like, they were limited in their, they were more of a, I don't know, I guess I've always thought of influx as a group of the philosophy and a vision, the way many terrorist groups are.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't know, they seemed kind of limited in their technology and their, and now they seem to actually be like full masters of the debris with George in the lead, and they might be able to do time travel and jump between dimensions and stuff like that, which, I mean, we should talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, John Noble's character said something about that it wouldn't have worked with Fanola no matter what iteration she is or something like that. I think that's what he said, iteration.
Yeah, in any
iteration. And that
immediately
was like, is this an alternate universe? What is going on with this? That I'm interested in. But maybe that's just because I want more Fringe. I don't know. But those are the kind of things I want to see more of, not these weekly, what does this piece of debris do? I mean, I know the show's about debris.
Well, yeah, I agree.
But maybe you need to use a better way. And I mean, even the fact, I know, Karen, you said you don't think it's interesting he can teleport, that this kind of, yeah, I get you can't keep doing it. But see, the fact that we know before they swallowed these nachos and it gave them these powers, so I could find it believable that he could reactivate it again with the electricity or whatever. That wasn't what bothered me. But it's the fact that those things like that, they use them for the shock factor rather than explaining, you know, why.
Anything.
I mean, is this alien? I mean, I guess this is aliens, right? But, like, why would this – I'm also curious what the heck this has to do with other dimensions, unless it's just, like, Wyman likes that kind of stuff, so he stuck it in, which I don't know.
I guess
you have to wait to find out.
I mean,
I just, like,
that's actually
in
another...
episode 6, I would have been like, I want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I want to see more of this.
Yeah.
But it's even with me, like, I want to see it again, and I'm going to keep watching it if it comes back. But it took so long to get there that even I'm kind of like, like, I want to see it,
well,
but I'm not in a rush.
Yeah. And that's another frustration for me, and I think maybe for AJ also, is that the villains, do you think Influx are still the villains? I mean, they still are right now, but they have far greater mastery. The entirety of the United States, UK, and Chinese governments have not mastered the technology in the way that Influx has. Like, we haven't seen any teleporting American agents or anybody, like, you know, doing whatever, like, and these guys who appear to have, like, no lab, no home base, no nothing, have implanted all this in their body, and they can do all the stuff, and they're, like, so far ahead. Now, maybe because George was... George...
He was in Florida. But I thought that, like, we'd start to maybe think, like you said, or Influx the bad guys. I feel like Influx still are the bad guys. Like, I was surprised that they didn't try to make us feel like maybe they weren't. Like, I don't feel like they're, like, I expected more of a gray. Like, when you found out he was part of Influx, I don't know. Like, normally in a show, there'd be more of, like, a gray area. Like, well, maybe they're not the bad guys. But it's like, even he is, like, a bad guy. I'm sort of surprised about that. I mean, it doesn't necessarily change my feeling on it.
Don't you think he's not George? Don't you think he's not George? Like, he's from, so when they talked about different iterations,
maybe
he would not have worked with her in an iteration. It did make me think of John Noble and Fringe. Remember in that episode of Fringe where he's at the blackboard and he explains sort of the multiverse theory, and he's like, every decision you make, something branches off, and that's a new universe. And he drew this whole thing with the new, you know, all the branches.
Well, we know there's
and I felt
Fanola
like,
too,
and then
so he might say.
Well, and then at the end, Fanola says, like, my father committed suicide because of this, and you're not him. And I'm like, oh, that's another, you know. It did not, like,
but
seeing,
I think that's more her saying, I don't accept
box.
It. You, I mean, that to me was more like her saying, I don't accept that you're him anymore because you changed too much, so you're not my father anymore. That was kind of,
yeah,
I mean,
not
I don't
that it's an actual different person.
Believe
but
that.
I think,
which, yes, they make
I,
it sound like it could be other alternate universes.
I think
than
it's an actual different person.
Experiment. Sorry?
We've already seen they have clones. We've already seen they have clones. We've already seen they have the ability to change their face, right? They can change their face. They can be a clone. And, right? And so now we think maybe they can have be from an alternate iteration. We've seen them go through, we've seen someone, we had two episodes where this teenage kid and Brian were jumping and jumping and jumping, and every iteration was a different reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know that's possible. Like, we saw, like, 100 different realities in two episodes.
Yeah. Now, what about, see, the thing is, there's so many different things going on at once, though. That's why there's, like, so much in this episode. Why didn't they stretch it out? What about the fact
show
that
sucks?
No, but what about the fact that that was quote unquote born? This is the part of the episode where they lost me, and I'm like, I don't like this or get this.
What,
like, is this supposed to be like an alien soul or something? The glowing ball of light, where they make a point of saying that it was, I think
it's
they
so
used
dumb.
The word born, something like that. Like,
yeah, they did say it was born.
I don't see how that connects with anything. Like, it just I mean, I'm sure it does, but again, these are questions we should have been wanting
birthed?
To ask in the middle of the season, not now. Sorry?
Well, I think they said it was birthed or it was born, yeah. Glowing ball of light was birthed. It was birthed, right? I personally hate that part.
Like,
I hated the glowing ball of light last week. I hate it this week.
Yeah,
and I hate that it floated to a guy sitting on a mesa in, like, Arizona or wherever, and then he walks into a cave and Sebastian Roche is there. Right?
Yeah.
That was so dumb.
Yeah, but
And then
we
see alternate Fanolas in the cave. I do think the idea of, like, Fanola in a box, and she appeared to be frozen in this sort of, like, glowing box kind of thing, which we have seen other people put into the glowing box before. Like, we saw the whole bunch. Remember those people who could only breathe chlorine in the greenhouse? And they were like, let's put them in the debris glowing
thing.
Yeah. So we've seen that before, and yet we also saw this week that Mannix stole a piece of debris, or he bought a piece of debris for his own personal use, which we've expected for a long time. I mean, it continues to really bother me a lot that Mannix has the richest character development of anyone on the show. Like, Mannix, his character development is really, really deep
and
complex.
A small character. And it's bad.
So far. I mean, is he small?
Good to develop, but the fact that he's, like, not as important a part of the show is the problem. It should not be this.
Yes. I mean, he's important. He's an important part of the show. He should not have a better character development than the two stars. And he does.
Than Brian and Fanola.
Right.
Right. That's
but
my point.
He's deeply developed, and he's got such a backstory and such pain in his. And I think his wife is really deeply developed in a way that Brian and Fanola aren't. I mean, his wife's only been in, like, two episodes, and I really, really feel her pain over what has happened to her son in a way that I don't feel almost any emotion from Brian at all, ever.
No, I know. At least she didn't commit suicide before he saved his son, or before he did that, because I'm thinking that would have been so tragic, like, if she killed himself and then he saved the kid. Like, that would
have I thought she might have been about to actually kill the son. I thought maybe she was going to put
herself. I guess it could have went either way.
I thought she might kill herself. At any rate, we have expected for a long time, we've talked about this, that he's probably trying to use the debris to save his son, to correct his son, right? And so, but what I'm getting at is we saw the same kind of stasis box around the sun that we've seen around Fanola and other people, but they always seem frozen, and it actually enabled the sun to, I mean, all he says is mom, right? He's not, like, cured. He's still pretty much immobile and with a flat affect, but he does recognize her and speak to her, right?
Yeah, I think it's some kind of communication. I mean, we kind of talked about that before.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter, but it appears to be the same visual effect that we see that freezes some people but seem to allow him. I don't know. Did you guys think it looked the same, or is that just me?
I thought it was very similar, if not the same.
I think you might be more on the nose of what you said, though. I think maybe it's just similar visual effects-wise, not necessarily story-wise.
Maybe
they
can't,
like,
afford more effects.
Containment, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really think of it as being any way connected other than it's some kind of field that they used.
I'm really conflicted about
the
storyline. I find that storyline so much more interesting than either of our main characters, and so I like it, but it also pisses me off. AJ, you're going to speak. What do you think?
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It's always annoying when the B storyline is more interesting than the A storyline. It's simple as that.
Yeah.
And I do like that storyline, and I think it does make Maddox, you know, a lot more fleshed out than, you know, at least with Maddox, you understand why he's doing what he's doing. You know, is he being selfish? Absolutely. You know, is he a person in a position of power that should not be doing this? Yeah. But guess what? It's human. It makes sense. The rest of this show doesn't make any sense because we haven't been told anything. We've only been, you know, we've given been given Maddox this story. We're not really sure what the hell is going on with anything else. And when we finally do start to get stuff, you know, like I said before, it's just too little too late, and I don't even care. However,
yeah.
I did appreciate, whether intentional or not, the show gave a shout-out to Lost. Whether it was intentional or not, I took it as a shout-out to Lost. We had the purge moment. When everybody fell down, that was the purge.
Yeah. They all of a sudden like that. Yep. And then Brian survived it, which you kind
of
expected, although I thought it was very callous of George when Fennell's like, what about George? And what about Brian? And George says, his sacrifice will be equal to everyone else's. Like, George was...
I know, that's why I said
George was
not still a good guy. Like, I don't even
you
know him as a good guy.
I gotta say, I don't know. I feel like it's supposed, it's intentional.
It is.
But George is very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very monotone. Like,
yep.
It doesn't matter what
very
he's
flat.
Saying. Yes, very flat. Everything he says and does is, I mean, it's got to be intentional to a point, because I can't believe that the actor is that dull.
Yeah.
But
he really,
you know, and it just, it really, yeah, he has been the whole time. I felt this way for a while now. And it just, it kind of takes me out of the scene. It takes me out of, whenever he's in a scene, it takes me out of it. Because I'm just like, I'm like bored. Whenever he's talking or doing something, I don't care. I'm bored because it's just so this is how the debris works. I mean, he's like talking to Eeyore.
Yeah, he's not the kind of like, so on Fringe, John Noble played a similar character in the sense that he was like a fringe scientist studying like this alien, like, but he was super animated and passionate about what he was talking about. And he always was like a little cuckoo, and everyone's like, oh my God, he's kind of crazy, but he was so into it. And George, like, lacks that. George has no passion. He shows no passion for the work.
That's
right?
The word. There you go. The passion. Yeah. That's the perfect word for it, too.
Yeah, but we thought he had
I also,
up and so I think that, like, kind of.
Well, but he also shows no real connection with Fennola. And I don't know if that's bad acting or bad direction or what, but, you know, Fennola is, like, so devoted to her father and so broken up about losing him. And when he comes back, I didn't really feel Fennola's, like, affection for him. And I certainly felt nothing back. Like, I don't think George ever really showed any character. Do those actors lack chemistry together as a father-daughter pair? Are they poorly directed? Is it poorly written? I don't know, but I don't really feel... So, I think Ryan...
I don't feel any
Ryan,
chemistry with anybody.
No, nor with Brian. And so, the actress's name is Ryan something. I forgot her last name. I always want to say Ryan Johnson. That's not her name.
Ryan
but
Steele.
The actress who plays Ryan Steele, I thought she did a pretty good job of showing the emotion and heartbreak of realizing her father was part of Influx and really a bad person and not the man she knew. But because she's a good actress doing the best with what she's given, but I never really felt the relationship there. Like their time on screen together has not shown me. And if I'm going to go back to Fringe, I think that Joshua Jackson and John Noble did a very good, like, a strange father-son pair, right? They were strange in the beginning, and yet they came together, and I don't feel like these two actors on the show have shown me the relationship. Everything we've seen for 13 episodes was that Fanola was so upset about losing her father and so broken up about it. And I didn't see a relationship. Like, was it really a big loss? It's her father, but George does not appear to ever have been an actually affectionate or good father, right?
You know, it's like they don't, when he tells her, doing it all for her and everything and all that good stuff, there's no passion from him at all. There's nothing.
Nope.
At least, on Fringe, whenever John Noble did something questionable and Peter called him out on it, there was always passion behind it. For his reasoning, he was so passionate and charismatic about it, and he was just like, this is why, and he's like, Peter, you have to understand. Whereas George is just like, Fanula, you'll see in time. You put me to sleep, dude.
Yeah, or if I'm trying to think of other shows that I want to compare it to, and it's hard to come up with those, but, even on something like The X-Files, where the cigarette-smoking man, I wouldn't say he showed passion. I would say he showed real commitment to his beliefs, which George doesn't have, right? He had a real commitment and he was a believer. Or other kinds of mad scientist villains always show a real, George is a very flat, that character is a cold fish, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like you're supposed to feel like in this episode that I got the opinion that he really didn't care about his family that much and that's kind of what the takeaway was. But I don't know whether it's the way it was supposed to be or just the way it felt. I don't know.
I'm inclined to agree with you, Jamie. Fanola has told us for 10 episodes is that he's a devoted father and almost her best friend. And she's so her life is defined by losing her father.
I guess, but I kind of wonder though, if some of that is more her point of view though, I guess.
Perspective. I agree with you.
She looks up to him because he's her father. She looks up to him and felt like he was this great man. Not that he actually was. That just was what she thought. She maybe finally saw him for what he truly was. That's how but I don't know.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, Jamie, but he's like that with everything. It's not just, even if his family isn't that important to him, nothing's important to him. He speaks of it.
You're right. But I feel like we were supposed to, until this point, feel like it was partially because he wasn't all the way there. And then maybe realized that he was and he's faking it, I guess. I don't know. Questioning it means it wasn't done right, though.
I really think everything Fanola's told us is it's more than just admiration for her father as a great man. The only flashback we saw was she and her sister dancing in the apartment to a song with her parents that they loved. And she has she talks about her father as an affectionate part of her family, like an affectionate man who she loved, not as a scientist, but as her father. And we saw none of that. Did they ever hug, ever, in the whole time we saw them together in the last five? No.
I don't think so.
There's just nothing.
COVID.
No.
Just saying.
COVID.
Sorry.
You know what, though? Not for nothing. We've talked about this numerous times. Brian constantly looking like he wants to be anywhere but where he is. It's kind of a theme for this show. I feel like it's the direction, it could be the writing too. The writing could, be saying, that way, but
when I watch the show, I also want to be anyplace else than watching Debris. I'm not watching season two. I'm not watching season two.
That's what I say. You guys aren't watching season two then
no.
if it comes back. I
nope.
won't be.
Yeah,
like
so it's
you guys might recall that.
Perfect.
Do you remember that I fell asleep in at least 50% of the episodes?
Every episode.
You've fallen asleep during Doctor Who, though, so I don't necessarily say that's a good indication.
I thought this show was really
it kind of is.
Boring. I can't. I can't invest another 13 weeks hoping something will happen.
I understand.
It's too little too late.
And I think – that's my point. Like, I'm always willing to give – I get more invested in things, I think, a lot easier. And I'm saying I think most people are probably going to be like what you guys think. I wonder if it does come back, they got to definitely do something.
Did they get renewed?
For me,
I don't know.
They're not renewed yet. They're not renewed yet. For me, having like 12 bad episodes and then finally, so AJ and I fell into this trap for like 5 years in a row with the 100, right? Like we'd watch like, oh, the finale was so good. I mean, this wasn't a so good finale, but it was an okay finale.
But the thing is, by the time that started, Karen, we were already 4 seasons in.
I know.
And then we were like, after season, yeah, this is the first season we feel this way.
Yes, and I feel like I checked out of Debris like several weeks ago, and I already was like, I'm not going to watch it. And then they have a pretty decent finale. I feel like it's when like you break up with your boyfriend, and then a week later he's like, oh, let's get married. And you're like, wait a minute, it's too late. Sorry, this ship has sailed, right? Like, sorry,
no, it's
Debris,
like it's
I'm
like when you have
you.
It's like when no, you have the breakup sex, and it's really good, and you're like, maybe we'll give it another try.
Yeah. Yes. This episode was the breakup sex. You're right, AJ. And I'm not falling for it. I had breakup sex and we're moving on. We're not getting back together, Debris. Sorry. I'm not watching it.
It's a shame. It's a shame because this finale was pretty good. If this had been like the mid-season, like episode 6 or 7, and then it got better.
Yep.
I might be more inclined, but. I can't. I've said this before through our shows and everything that I've quit watching. So much out there now, I don't have time to watch a show that's making me bored.
Yeah.
There's too much good TV out there.
If it had been like, if they had cut out like 4 or 5 of the boring episode of the week, like if they cut out, remember that episode where the girl used to sit by, remember that when that girl sat by the shoreline and little bits of like, Debris came and she put them in a diving suit and her uncle like killed everyone or whatever the hell that was about. We could have skipped that one.
Mm-hmm.
We could have skipped the people who could only breathe chlorine. We could have skipped like there was a whole bunch of episodes that we could have skipped. And as you and both Jamie and now you have suggested, put this episode in the middle and then move us along to a real science fiction storyline.
See, that's why I said this isn't like a 20-some episode season. It there's no excuse
there's
for
no
it.
Reason for filler, right?
Right.
Yeah. This could have been
that's kind of the nice thing about 13.
Yeah. 13 was too many for this. 13 was too many.
Yeah,
this
that's true,
been
too. If it was something like Netflix, maybe it would have worked a little better, but it's the fact that
It's not that 13 was too many. The story along properly. Yeah, there's just too much crap. Like, take out the crap, put this episode at the middle, and continue your story. You know,
right.
Give us more John Noble.
Yeah. Well, and also, let's not forget that the major end of the season was. They birthed a glowing ball that flew to a mesa somewhere out west guy into a cave, right? I hated that.
Oh, my God. How did I not see this until now when, as Karen was saying that? The glowing ball. The glowing ball went into a cave. This is the prequel to Lost.
Yep. It's the prequel to Lost, right?
Because that ball is going to become the glowing cave. Oh, my God. How did we not see this?
Yeah, I right away thought of you guys and our complaints about glowing caves.
The glowing cave.
As that happens.
You know, anytime there's a glowing cave, I'm right out.
Yeah, I mean, first the Purge, now the glowing cave. Oh, my God. This is a prequel.
Everything was a prequel this week.
All right.
Fear was a prequel to The 100. All right.
I think I feel like if this was on a different network, and we've said this before, but I think this show should have been on, or not.
Well, not on NBC. I mean, they definitely did not spend enough money on the special effects of the glowing ball.
Well, you know what?
Right.
I don't want to believe it much longer, but we've said before that NBC does not do well with sci-fi shows. I don't understand what it is.
But Manifest isn't really, I don't know, like Manifest is sci-fi, but at the same time, I feel like the core of Manifest is not sci-fi, if that makes sense.
It's procedural. The core is procedural.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why it works out. This isn't, but Debris is not the kind of show that works as a procedural.
No.
All right.
That's why they're
and speaking of Manifest, let's move on to it.
Yeah, why don't we
move on to Manifest?
It's already midnight. So
once again, the best show of the week was Manifest. And it wasn't even that good, but it was the best show of the week. So two things happened this week. So we've got the whole Angelina thing, which was the B storyline. And actually there were three storylines. So there's Zombie in the lab with the piece of Noah's Ark, right? With the earthquake and all that stuff. And then there's Ben, crazy Ben this week, who's following a calling with Anita, and then it ends up sucking in Michaela. There's the calling of the week. I'm sorry, Astrid, right. The calling of the week, which was Astrid's, the procedural part of it with the calling. Then there's Zombie and the arc, and then there was this like Angelina thing on the side. So AJ.
Angelina.
Yeah. So what are you, any part of this that you particularly liked, hated? We're mid-season on Manifest, right?
I was good. There's only three episodes left.
Wow.
So we're a quarter way through.
All right.
I liked, Zombie pissed me off because, and this is classic Zombie. Hey, Mick, you need to do the right thing. I've screwed up. Do the right thing. Take me in. I'm going to turn myself in. But hold on, because something really important has just happened. I promise by the end of the day, I'll turn myself in. All right, no problem. And then, of course, that didn't happen, which we knew wasn't going to happen because that's Zombie for you. Something always more important comes up. I like the way everything tied together with the calling with that idiot from the Xers.
Mm-hmm.
Angelina, oh dear God. I think the biggest thing you take from this Angelina thing is actually, what's his face there? Zeke. I think Zeke is, knowing that he can, that his empathy doesn't tell the whole story about something, I think is going to play into something. The fact that he actually is aware of it now. And yeah, caring for that, last week or the week before. But this Angelina thing, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, we know there's something special about the baby because this is, you know, this whole thing with, like, and I, as soon as she moved and the chandelier fell where she was sitting, I was like, yeah, we got psychic baby over here. Which, and she did,
really?
And
I thought
the whole,
that was just her putting more into it than actually happened.
No,
that?
I felt that immediately. Well, let's not forget that the baby also, during the whole meth head storyline, when she and Cal were down in the bunker, I forget exactly what she did, something that like saved them.
Well, and Grace had a calling while she was pregnant.
Right.
Right?
Well, I mean, we know. Yeah, I know.
While
yeah.
She was,
yeah. Grace had a couple callings while she was pregnant. But this whole thing with Angelina is just absolutely ridiculous, and the worst part about it is the fact that Cal is taking such a stance on it tells me that Angelina is going to... No, I don't have a problem with Cal taking a big stance on it because that tells me that Angelina is going to be very integral and play an important part because Cal doesn't just jump on any... You know what I mean? Like, Cal's always right. Let's put it that way. When Cal feels something, Cal's right. And they should stop questioning
Cal. But Cal can be wrong also.
But,
Cal can be right, but he can misinterpret it, just like everybody
else. Well,
yeah.
But the problem with the storyline is it's so out of left field. It makes absolutely no sense at all. That's the biggest problem I have with it. If I could have seen, I mean, again, they did the time jump with us, which is what I think is the big problem. But had we seen, you know, a gradual getting up to this point, I'd be okay with it. But it's just like, here you go. We need to get to this point. So here it is. Deal with it. She is just, she is completely, and then she's like, yeah, I mean, she yelled at Grace. And I'm not a fan of Grace. Jesus Christ. She yelled at Grace. She goes, I am a part of this family. And Grace is like, not anymore. Get out. The one time I agree with Grace. It's the storyline, but is the actress who plays Olive, is she like doing something else? Because they keep finding excuses for her not to be in the episodes, and she's been, you know, I mean, she's been very integral,
yeah.
But every couple episodes she kind of disappears for no reason. Like right now, she refuses to be at the house while Angelina's there. So I'm wondering if she's, like, shooting something else, and this is kind of like they use certain things to
explain her. Or could it be COVID? Could it be COVID?
Could be. Who knows? But this just – the Angelina story really bothers me because it's going to turn out – at the end of this story with Angelina, I can see people apologizing to her because it's going to turn out that her actions are because of something. I'm not making excuses for actions. I'm saying this is where I see the story going. And when the candle caught the curtains on fire, and she's just like, I was like, oh my God, she's crazy. I was like, I don't like this. What about you guys?
Jamie, you're trying to jump in there. Go ahead, Jamie. You have feelings and thoughts.
No. I was just thinking about what he was saying, like when she's like standing in there at the curtain with her arms out, like, yeah, save me. Like that was like
she
so bad.
Real.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I just kind of agree.
This whole storyline's dumb. I don't know.
Yeah.
I more thought that she was, I'm not saying that the baby isn't special, but I don't know. I didn't think the baby saved her. I felt like it was totally in her head and she's just nuts. But I don't know. I mean, I think that this was a decent episode, but I wish this show was less. I know that is what it is, but I mean, I wish it was less procedural. Than it is. I'm not sure that my main thing with this episode is more thinking about Sonvi and the fact that I don't think she's going to want to turn herself in. And also the fact that she just decided to get rid of that piece of Noah's Ark and throw it in the volcano. I mean, obviously,
well, she was
it was
right.
Probably the right choice. The fact that she did it was kind of like, I don't know that she got to that point and that they all helped her do it. I don't know. I don't know. The show
so
was kind of so-so for me. It wasn't really.
Yeah. I don't think that Sonvi so I'm a little sick of Ben in the lifeboat, it's the lifeboat. I would be kind of glad to see Ben go to jail and shut the hell up for a couple weeks. So being taken to jail, and if you saw the promo for next week, he appears to be making a court appearance. It's ridiculous. There's no way that Vance and the NSA could not make that go away. They killed the mate. They made the major disappear and made all
sure
that go away. Vance personally faked his own death for like a year and a half, and then he escaped from Cuba by himself, but they can't get Ben off. Ben's got to go for a minor crime of a restraining order. Like, it just makes no sense.
That doesn't mean they won't get off. I mean, maybe they didn't see that.
But the very idea that he might appear in court, which we see in next week's promo, so you're right, Jamie, we might see that, which makes it a fake-out storyline. But anyway, I do think that Ben is becoming more and more annoyingly adamant about the lifeboat. Like, Ben has been. For, like, 3 years now, Ben is, like, the self-appointed leader of the survivors, and he's always, like, trying to help people. And I do think I'm not totally against the storyline where he becomes more and more adamant and it comes to bite him in the ass. And I kind of like the little bit of tension with Michaela lately where she's like, yo, back off. And he's like, yeah. No, we got to do this. And she's like, let me follow the calling in my way, dude. And he's like, like, I kind of, right? So AJ's agreeing. I kind of like that little bit of tension there.
It makes it interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the procedural element was kind of, whatever. I liked Astrid. She seemed like a nice character to be added to the show, this woman on the plane. And she had all this, I mean, I think her anxiety was a little bit overplayed. But people do have anxiety and they don't want to go out and do stuff.
Yeah.
And she had to really work hard to fulfill this pretty straightforward and basic calling this week. Save the kids. Like, how many times has Mikhail, like 95% of callings are save the kid. I mean, they're not, but there's a lot of them that are save the kid, right? So they save the kid. She helps both Bennett, like, you know. I mean, it was an okay calling, not that exciting, run-of-the-mill procedural calling. But I liked her as a character. I thought it was kind of the way it transitioned from a Ben to a Michaela thing to resolve it. But ultimately, like, I do kind of like Ben's becoming a giant pain in the ass, so I'm glad that somebody arrested him. I like the Sandvi thing. I mean, Sandvi threw
like
a piece of Noah's Ark into a volcano. Yes, I like the fake
That's
out.
My point. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yes.
That was obviously the right choice.
Good. Yep. And that guy who was her great friend in her lab who then disappears and he's a great friend again, like the guy that helped her, like the two guys helped her, both those guys helped her and set up a, you know, the Vatican's going to be kind of pissed off that their piece of Noah's Ark is gone. But it was a really good fake out and Zombie was correct, right? She throws it in there and the volcano thing closes. And so, you know, that was kind of, there's a little bit,
but
there's more going on there than 828. There's more going on there. That's like God like, leave Noah's Ark where it is and don't like mess with it. right. I mean, that basically, is that storyline like basically like God is mad? Was that what happened this week? I'm not really sure. Did you see where Sandvi was well, if you look, there's three major points. Like the earthquake happened right in between the Meth Head Lake, the Zeke Cave, and like the place where they landed.
The drowning guy.
It was almost
idiot that drowned.
The drowning guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Meth Head's in the lake, the guy in the river, and Zeke in the cave. It was where everybody who's not on the plane who died and came back, it's like in between where they all died, right? It's almost like a Bermuda Triangle kind of thing where it popped up.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what that's all about or what it means. I kind of liked it, and I liked that Sandvi's been a jerk for a couple weeks now. And she went against, so Vance is the worst jerk of all, right? Like, Vance continues to not be happy with where Vance is going.
You know, actually, this week, I kind of changed my tune on Vance a little bit. When he says, was he talking to Sandvi? When he's like, he goes, if I don't stay in charge, then somebody else is going to come in and take over, and they're not going to have your best interest in heart. And I don't think that was just a throwaway line. I think that's legitimate. I think Vance is in a very tough spot. He's damned if he does, and he's damned if he doesn't. It's like he has to it's like I think he's going to protect 828 as much as he can, but at the same time, he has to be productive. Otherwise, they're going to be like, well, why are you in charge? You've done nothing. So we're going to let, you know, somebody
well,
as bad
that,
as...
But, I no longer believe he has their best interests at heart. He seems to really be acting like he's more interested in the science and the weaponizing whatever happened. He's not, I don't think he's really trying to protect the passengers. I think if he can protect them on the side, that would be a bonus, but it's not his goal.
Yeah. And I think it's going to, I mean, you might be right, but I feel like right now I want to lean towards Vance still being a good guy.
Yeah.
It's definitely a precarious position for him to be in. It's not a position of envy.
Yeah. Well, you're right. And so you guys both addressed Angelina and her ridiculous storyline.
Oh.
I did. Did anybody think, like, there was a moment where, can I ask, like, is that a calling? Like, the thing is, when you see fire,
yes.
Like, there's been so much fire for 2 weeks, right?
Because it's hard to tell anymore, right?
The effects were so bad, I thought it was fake at first.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, is she having a calling about fire? And then it was an actual fire. And then she's like, oh, the baby will, I mean, I agree with you that I don't like Grace was absolutely right to throw her out of the house. And Cal was kind of wrong. I mean, you're right. Cal's always right, but Cal could be wrong. But I think Grace did the right thing. I really, earlier in the episode was very uncomfortable and not, like, I didn't really like the part where Grace is like, oh, Olive is going to stay at Levi's house for a few more nights. Levi, who she practically just met, her boyfriend, whatever. But, Olive is going to stay.
They let her stay. She's a high school kid, and they're letting her stay at this boy's house?
Who's in college? Who's a grad student?
She's not.
Still.
In school, high school.
She doesn't
anymore.
Really know him. I mean, as parents, they're letting her
in high school. She just
she's 18 years
AJ.
Old.
AJ, she went to the prom two weeks ago. She's in high school. She might be 17. She might
I forgot.
Be 18.
You know what? I forgot about the prom. You know what? There's been so many time jumps. She might be 18 now.
Yeah.
Anyway, if she's 18, technically they can't stop her. But my point is that the fact that they act like she's this teenager and like she's over some boy's house for days living with them and she barely knows them. I don't know. I was kind of shocked like they didn't make a big deal about this.
And he's a graduate student, so he's probably like 24 or whatever. And she's staying at his like we've never even seen them kiss. Or really known they're dating, and now she's hanging out at his house because she's mad. But, I was really...
They seem unconcerned.
They're unconcerned, but what's really wrong about it is, like, there's this rift between Olive and Angelina, and they basically choose Angelina. They're like, oh, you know, Olive is going to stay at her boyfriend's house for a few days, but Angelina, we need to support Angelina. We really need Angelina to stay here and support her and take care of her. And I'm like, what? What is going on? Like, that is some of the worst parenting I've ever seen. Angelina is,
Grace.
Like, 24, right? Isn't Angelina, like, 23, 20? She's older. I know
she's
messed up and they feel sorry for her. But they, yes, so they, thank you. So they let their own daughter feel like she can't come home because of Angelina. And they're like, she needs to stay. So, like, there was so much bad parenting and it was so much screwed up there, I felt like. Wait a minute, Olive can't come home.
Well,
because Angelina's here, and they can't get rid of her, and she's staying with this boy who, story-wise, is not her boyfriend yet. The whole thing was, I was like, what is going on here? And Grace, could you be a worse parent?
She is a bad parent. We know this already. This is not news. It's Grace.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that whole thing to me was a mess of storyline. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I can't wait till the Angelina storyline is over. I know there's going to be an explanation at the end of the whole thing. It's not going to make me feel better about the precursor to getting to that point, though. It's not going to absolve everything when you get there.
There's nothing makes me feel... There's no resolution that makes it okay to be in a burning room and be like, let this little infant save me.
But she was
let
praying.
Let this little baby save me. Yeah. Bad.
I don't even know what something about angels and... You know what? It really did feel like calling.
Save me and let me pray.
Yeah, like, but that was the messed up thing. I mean, if you notice, it had to be intentional. Because the way the flames were and the way she was standing, she looked like an angel. With flames for wings.
Yeah.
Angelina
did. Which made it feel like a calling and not a real fire, but it was a real fire.
That was just because... which is funny because there's been callings where the effects were really, really good and you didn't realize it was a calling at first. this is the opposite, where it looked like a calling because the effects were so bad. So I always feel like there's some intention there for, in some way, shape, or form.
I don't like that they're making her so crazy, like single white female.
I don't either.
I'm waiting for the – I mean, I really feel like – I don't know what you guys think, but I think maybe she's going to kidnap Eden. I feel like she might kidnap Eden.
Oh, I definitely think that's going to happen.
Making her really crazy, and they had made her like sort of a sympathetic character for a while, and having this connection with Cal. Maybe Cal could really be wrong. Like, she's going to kidnap.
You know, not for nothing.
For sure.
You know, I think I really want to watch like Angelina because I really like Holly Taylor. But you know, if you think about it for a second, if you go back a bit, they've been writing Angelina pretty poorly to begin with, or maybe it's intentional and we just didn't pick up on it. Because I mean, she was going to spend the rest of her life with a meth head. You know? Oh, Pete. Who she knew all 5 minutes.
Yeah, she barely knew him.
I think a big part of the problem with the storyline is the time jumps. The time jumps have really, at least, I don't know about you guys, but they've really messed with me as far as keeping track of putting this together.
Because every episode, 1 or 2 months goes by.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine for the beginning of the season, but then they did it, you know, 2 episodes ago, and because I remember saying when the whole thing with Angelina started, I was like, why is Owl being such a bitch to Angelina? Like, did I miss something? Like, did we, like, somehow miss an episode?
Yeah.
And then one of you guys mentioned that it had been, like, however long, what you call it, dating Major's daughter.
And so, I mean, the other part of this Angelina thing, and so Jamie brought it up, was that Zeke had this empathetic feeling for her, and he misinterpreted it, right? Like, Jamie pointed out, we've discussed before, the idea that he's not interpreting them correctly, or he's getting overwhelmed by the feeling of the moment or at the time,
Yeah, he's just getting what they feel, not necessarily there. I mean, I definitely think it's at the moment, but I think also this episode showed that it's what they're feeling, not necessarily what they're thinking, you know?
Absolutely.
About the baby doesn't, just because she thinks she's right and cares about the baby doesn't mean she cares about the baby in the right way. You know what I mean? Like, he would totally misinterpret it. I find that interesting.
It's very interesting because he previously said, you know, the Major's daughter really loves Jared and don't worry about her. And so now we see him say, Angelina loves the baby, don't worry about her.
Yeah, that's
going to
come back.
Well, I think that's exactly. I think that's exactly why they showed us this now, because it makes you go, because we already questioned it, and now it's going to definitely, and I totally see him having a moment where he's going to question what he's feeling because of what's happened with Angelina, and it's going to come back to bite. It's all going to come back to bite people in the ass. It always does.
Yeah.
So, all right, ladies, we got anything else with this?
Nope.
The only other thing I want to mention, because I'm excited about this, I don't want to forget to mention, is that Thursday I'm talking to Leslie and Brandt for Lucifer.
Ooh.
So people can send me their maze questions. So I'm excited about that. Lucifer comes out Friday. I got to get my review finished and ready.
I know that's like a favorite show, so.
Right now,
That's cool, yeah.
That's good.
Karen, you'll find this interesting. Quick little side note. I was watching The Rookie the other day, the show with Nathan Fillion, and there was a very familiar guest star on it. I'm like looking at this guy, and I'm like, is that? Oh, my God, it is. Bob Morley had a guest spot on The Rookie the other day.
Oh, really? I haven't seen him act since The 100,
Yeah, we didn't see him act then either.
But No, we didn't, because he was not in the whole, practically last year, That's great.
Yeah, so.
Hmm.
I was excited. I mean, it's a one-off character because he played a bad guy, but.
Hmm.
And he played a really bad guy. He was creepy.
I was just looking at something. I realized something we never commented on, and I know you guys don't like debris, so maybe you don't care, but I did want to ask you guys before I forget. What the heck did you think about that thing that they're seeing, that guy made up of, kind of black smoke?
Oh, I forgot about that guy. I don't know what that is.
I see a sci-fi wire. I guess
and they don't
call
care.
It part of it.
No.
I don't know what else. That
Article
was
man.
One of the...
You know, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, is that like bees? Is that a man made out of bees is what I first thought. And then it came to look more like a smoke monster or a particle man, as you say, AJ. I have no idea what that is because when we first saw it, it looked like George was afraid and was trying to run away from that thing. But later, at the very end, when the influx guys are driving in the car, they all look at it at the side of the road like they're totally shocked and surprised. But they don't stop or turn around or anything. They're just like, oh, by the way, there's a smoke monster particle man walking down the street. Like that. What the hell was that? Any thoughts?
Not a clue.
Nobody has thoughts, huh? Jamie?
I don't know. Whatever it is, it's trying to show that it's, well, I mean, maybe that's a given, but that it's invisible and, like, they can, I got it. I took it that they can see it and other people can't, but. Maybe that's just how I took it. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe, but they didn't.
Don't know. You can tell us when you watch next season, Jamie.
They seem to be not happy to see it, but not scared. They just kept driving, right? Like,
it looked a little scary to me. I don't know. I thought they looked scared.
It was a little creepy, scary kind of thing. Could it be?
All right.
They just said the alien, or yeah, who knows.
Well, maybe.
All right, so next week we have a shorter show because no debris and no big sky. And I think something else at the end. Hey, this. All right, short week next week. Cool. All right.
All
right.
We only have Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right,
we'll
ladies.
All right.
It's the first start of Friday.
Week.
So.
All right, kids. Have a good night and a good week.
Do it again
talk
next
to you
week.
Soon.
Yep.
Have
a
night.
Right.
Oops.
Bye. Oh, and
bye, you guys.
We should. I didn't mention because he didn't come on, but that the new episode of Joyland went out. If people want to check that out on the
so
official.
We'll talk about that later at some point. Yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah,
at some point. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
All right.
Have a good week.
Good night.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Good night.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Bye, bye. Good night.